Oh, yes. Close the door. Dave's got to close the door. Johnny's coming and running like, I got it.
Johnny got it.
Johnny got it. We delegate responsibility here so that the hosts of the program don't have to shut the door. I don't know what they do in that booth. They jack each other off, maybe, probably, hopefully. Welcome to the show, everybody. Glad you could make it for another episode. Of course, the doorman, Dave Landau.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. Ooh, a nautical greeting for the people.
Well, it's raining out a little bit, so.
It is very wet and nasty here in New York. They did, last night, I'm going through the news, and it says, storm, nasty winter storm to dump 1 to 3 inches of snow on our area. It's like, all right, first of all, you can't even use the word storm if it's 1 to 3 inches.
It just means it's snowing.
It's snowing.
That's what it means.
It's a mix. It's pretty shitty out in general because it's slushy and fucking cold and whatever. But it's not a winter storm per se. And it doesn't, you can't dump an inch of snow on. They're like, they try to sensationalize every fucking thing. Could we just have the news report a normal day once where you go, oh, that sounds reasonable. That sounds like something that may happen. Not everything doesn't have to be cranked up to fucking 11.
When you wonder why everybody's on medication and nervous and shaking all the time.
You fucking watch this shit.
Yeah, all day you're being frightened by the people that are supposed to give you the news. Yeah, it's 3 inches. No one gives a shit.
3 inches,
If a guy pulled out a 3-inch dick.
Oh, my God.
Would not call that a school-closing cock.
He dumped his 3-inch dick into me. No, it's not really.
1 to 3, depending on how much I aroused him. It split me in half.
You can't even say metric. It's even smaller. I don't know. We're living this time where everything has to be over the top, amazing, earth ending, sensational. Like nothing is just normal anymore. Nothing can't be taken at face value for just being like, all right, there you go. There's a day. It used to be like that. We played some news clips on this very show where it was from the 70s and 80s, regular local New York news. After the first, I'll give them 5 minutes. After 5 minutes of the national news, maybe there was a war or something. Maybe the president did something.
Right.
But the rest of the 20 minutes or what have you of the news that was left was some of the most inane, boring shit. Because that's what life is. And that's all they had. They sent reporters down to talk to a bus driver who changed his own tire or some, like, bullshit story like that.
Yeah, the news was just the news. You hated watching it with your parents because it was boring as fuck.
Boring!
And now they just add explosions and bald eagles and fucking
crazy graphics.
Ear alert. Everything's in red.
There's always some sound and fucking graphic that makes you go, ah!
Yeah, there's, there's always something in your house that will kill you.
It's gonna kill you and fuck it. You walk outside, please lead your life. We know it's dangerous. See something, say something, but...
Yeah, that's the teasers for the commercial. Like, this is in your home and killing your pet right now.
Yeah.
Tune in at 11.
We'll tell you at 11.
Yeah. It's such shit.
Yeah. Can a common household item kill you in seconds? We'll tell you in hours. Hey, wait a minute.
Hope you're not using it.
Yeah, yeah.
See you at 11.
Using it, be careful. Well, what is it? Ha ha. Well,
tune in. It's nothing.
Oh, then it's nothing.
Nothing.
It's this uranium.
Yeah.
Well, that's not in my house. It could be.
It's not very common.
It's not very common at all.
A fighting pit bull I found in the street?
I thought it was.
Well, yeah, it's not really common.
It's this toothbrush. A toothbrush made of lead.
Yeah.
But my. It's not made of lead. I swear.
If you mash apple seeds into poison.
Yes, you're a common item in your house. Yeah. Apple seeds. Yeah. How many? 8 billion.
Yes.
Made into a puree. Yeah,
into cyanide given to your baby tonight at 11.
Shoved in your baby's mouth for weeks on end. Well, I would never do that. You might. If you did, it'd be very dangerous.
If you make an apple seed pudding for your child. Dead.
It's terrible.
You have a dead baby.
It's just fucking day after day, minute after minute. It's just this crazy. Their catch words that they use.
Well, even looking at Fox News, and I like Fox News because they're the only news channel that will have me on. But yeah, it's just this Fox News alert.
It
never doesn't say alert.
Fox News alert. It's constantly. I guess during the Gulf War or something, they started that whole thing where it was like, zhong, alert. And it was like when there was an alert. Now it's their top of the hour bumper.
Oh, yeah.
It's whenever they change shows, they're just like, schwung alert. And it's the same thing. It's like, how is an alert for Hannity if Tucker just talked about it for an hour?
Exactly.
It's not an alert anymore. We fucking know. They're just, everything is way over the top. I don't believe in anything I see on television anymore.
No, because you know exactly what it is. It's all designed to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Even weather. That's it.
Weather, it's like we talked about just now. The storm hits the Northeast, dumps an inch of snow. Dumps?
Yeah.
You don't use the word dumps. Sprinkles an inch of snow.
It's also raining, so it'll turn to slush fairly shortly and then eventually dry up.
Yeah. It is dangerous. You have to walk like half a fag on the sidewalk because you're like...
Or you get some on your socks and your fucking life is ruined.
Yeah.
Other than that, though.
Other than that, it's not, you know, the cars are driving, the planes are flying.
Yep.
Not really that big a disaster. I gotta be honest with you. But man, do they just love trying to petrify us. I'm so sick of it. Every fucking thing is just bullshit.
I had that where I was watching the news and was saying all the problems at LaGuardia and all the planes that were out.
Who are you, AOC?
Yeah.
That's what it'll be soon.
Exactly.
Trains everywhere.
Trains.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that. Like you.
She's
such an asshole. But yeah, you're at LaGuardia?
No, but they were just saying how like no planes are leaving. And then I got there, walked right to the fucking, and got right on my plane. Walk right down the tarmac and flew.
And you leave.
It's like, this isn't happening. You're just telling people.
It's one plane probably got canceled. Yeah. They're like, cancellations here at LaGuardia. Nah, one plane was canceled.
Why is anybody listening to that woman?
I really don't. Because it's hilarious.
I thought it was cute at first, but it's not.
She is so funny. I'm going to try to talk the guy from Governors into having her come up because AOC. She's hilarious. She is the dumbest fucking. I can't even. Like, and I'm not. People think I'm misogynistic or anything. I love women. I really do. I love hanging out with them. It's cool.
It's the opinions that bother me.
It's well. It's when anyone thinks. It's when anyone thinks because of their sex or their color or religion or whatever it is.
Identity politics.
They're better than anyone else. Mm-hmm. Except white people, because that's true.
Right.
But, see, that's called sarcasm and a little joke, a little humor. But no, because that's what it is.
We are on top of the food chain. We know why.
So you get this AOC. She comes out of school. She tends bar. And now she's a congresswoman. And she is completely clueless, but she's been patted on the back and told she's pretty and told she's smart by guys that are sitting there asking her for another beer because they want to fuck her.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. And then she actually believes it. So she puts together something like this new green plan, which is... It's the funniest thing I've read since National Lampoon back in the 70s.
It would eviscerate, like, the working man.
There is no way it could happen. You might as well have put new green plan. We leave Earth for Venus.
Exactly.
And it's like, yeah, it could cost money, but when we needed this, we came up with the money. Okay, we're going to Venus.
Yeah, exactly.
You dummy. It's so beyond the realm of reality. Retrofitting or rebuilding every building in the United States.
Yes.
Because the air conditioners are inefficient and they use chlorofluorocarbons and stuff like that. And she don't like that shit. So let's just take a, have you ever, you know what it reminds me of also? Whenever anyone has to talk to her, when she has her dumb ideas, that scene in Casino, where De Niro goes up to the chef in there and goes, I want an equal amount of blueberries in every muffin, an equal amount. And he just goes, do you know how long that will take? Goes, like, his reaction is everyone talking to AOC. Do you know how much money that'll cost?
Yeah, like, that's,
yeah, yeah. This is.
Upstairs, this is him.
He gets
floor.
All
you don't
mad.
See what's going on. I've got thousands
Look at this.
Of players.
He's
like
AOC.
Viewers.
Yours is falling apart.
And the chef is every single sensible person listening to her inane, dopey fuck ideas. Look. She sees global warming.
Look at that.
Uh-oh. Look at the ice caps have melted in my muffin.
Look how many blueberries your muffin has and how many mine has. Yours is falling apart. I have nothing.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You don't do it yourself. It never gets better.
This is fantastic. It's every time I hear it talk.
An equal amount of blueberries in each muffin. An equal amount of blueberries in each muffin. You know how long that's going to take? I don't care how long it takes. Put an equal amount in each muffin.
That's everyone in Congress, everyone in the Senate, the President, and the people of the United States.
How come in movies people are always smoking while they eat and not after? I always liked when I smoked. Never was like smoking, taking.
No, I don't even think it was a time thing because like my dad used to smoke after he ate.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it was great. He would lean back. Push the plate forward and then go.
Oh, yeah.
And the mashed potatoes. Mom is just cringing. Ready to fucking belt him in the face.
My whole family would light up a smoke at Thanksgiving. Like,
oh,
right
yeah.
Just
smoke everybody. All over the place.
Yeah, just fucking. Oh, it was great.
Yeah, so AOC has this new Green Deal thing that she wants. But so she put it on a website.
You can
everyone
take a train everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone read it and laughed their balls off because it was just. Retarded, if I may use the R word.
Is an electric train, by the way?
I think they're electric trains because they can't be diesel. Diesel is fossil fuel.
Exactly, yeah. So
it's to eliminate all fossil fuel.
Right, so it's got to be all brand new electric trains.
It's got to be electric trains. Electricity comes from places. I don't know what these people think. It comes from places. Now, there are different ways you could generate it. Nuclear. Oh, that's right. She wants to get rid of that, too. Right. Nuclear, which is the cleanest, most efficient energy there is. It literally produces water vapor. That's it. There's some radioactive waste. But, you know, you got to take the bad with the good.
Well, we can just rip down some forests and put up some windmills.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's windmills. Fine. Do you know how many windmills that will take? Like everything she questions. We'll put windmills. I think we really think that we should think.
It's like a toddler.
She likes doing the three-word thing.
Yeah, yeah.
She loves the three-word thing. Because we need to make sure our ecologically is ecologic.
Do you know how long it will take?
Everybody's like, can I smell your chair?
Yeah. So she wants windmill. It would take millions of these windmills.
Yes.
And you need them in places. To give the you can't build windmills where it's windy on the northeast, let's say, and then generate that power to the southeast.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way. You can't take that energy. It's too far a distance. You can't ship electricity in batteries. It's very inefficient.
Right.
The loss is amazing. You want to know how inefficient batteries are? You're holding one every day. What the fuck? I had a full charge an hour ago. What? Those are batteries, by the way.
Well, and that's what they're
saying. Nothing's better than this one.
That's
so.
What they're saying about the Teslas, too, is that they do work like an iPhone where the more you charge,
the worse it's going to be.
Yeah.
You can't ship. You know what ships very efficiently? Fossil fucking fuel. You fill up a tanker or you fill some with coal, you drive it from here to here, and then you burn the motherfucker and it makes energy. It's an amazing fucking thing. But she wants to get rid of the most efficient. But and coal is so clean burning these days.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be if you looked down the top of a smokestack, you'd see burning coal down there. Hey, if you could look, you know, a lot of smoke. Now, the retrofitting that they've done to these stacks and new factories and plants, it filters everything out. It takes all that wasted heat energy and recirculates it and makes more power out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, China and India are still just burning fucking shit.
Yep.
So we're supposed to live like animals and come up with these miraculous AOC fucking inventions that don't exist because we need to be the good guys while the rest of the world is just fucking inundated with Chinese smoke.
but if we address the rest of the world, who's the real problem?
Yeah,
that makes us racist.
Then we're racist and fucking paternalistic and every other istic.
So it's fine to kill polar bears as long as you're not an American.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, kill the polar bears, kill the whales, whatever the fuck you need to
seal.
Do. But we should feel bad about it.
Yes.
Like, other people do all the bad things, and we're supposed to fucking take the whip and hit ourselves with it. AOC would love – here's that an amazing thing I could only picture happening in AOC's world. That nice suburban scene where the neighbors come out to go to work, and they go, "Hi, Bob. Hello, Bill." And they go into their garage, and they come pulling out in those little baby trains that people build in their backyard to go to work. Chugga, 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 chugga.
Just a giant thing you push with your feet like Fred Flintstone?
Yeah, or Fred Flintstone cars. I mean, she is mental.
Or they walk down to the street, which is just a train picking everybody up all
picks
happily.
Everyone up. What is this world she imagines is out of fucking control?
And every human being, I can't get on a train here with a percentage of the population and not want to get off after 8 fucking feet. And you're going to tell me that the whole world, all of the United States is going to share a train system.
Could you just read? I wrote a quick note that I wouldn't forget something before the show. Read the first thing right there.
Puke Irene.
No.
What is it?
Puke train.
Puke train. I thought it said Irene.
I was thinking
Iranian.
I never crossed my T's and dot my I's.
Puke Iranian would also
puke
be
Iranian
on
works.
The train. I mean, it's not that he's not there, but puke train.
Puke train. Why would I ride puke train? Well, I took the subway here today. And this amazing AOC world of everyone on a train and doing that. I took the subway. I walked in and the smell of vomit was overwhelming.
Yeah.
There was one entire bench seat in the subway.
And Gino was sleeping on it?
And Gino was sleeping covered in his own vomit. Yes. Although it wouldn't have smelled like puke. It would have smelled like Jameson. But it was the seat was covered in vomit. Everyone was pressed against the walls as far away from the puke, which now with every stop is sloshing like a tsunami from one side to the other.
It's like the blob.
It was awful. And then there's a homeless guy sitting in a wheelchair covered in a plastic garbage bag going, "Can a woman spray me with perfume?
Oh.
Can a woman spray?" I'm looking at this just... I hate when everyone is cool on the train.
Yeah.
I still hate the train.
Oh, yeah.
It starts out here with me. And then you add a vomiting, a rolling vomitorium.
Yes.
And a fucking homeless guy asking for a perfume because he smells like death. and that's how we're going to get around? That's how we're traveling in AOC's 10-year plan?
What fun we'll have. When you get the guy who sings but can't sing and he does it in your ear while spitting herpes and hepatitis.
Wouldn't that be great? You know why? Because he'd be accepted everywhere because she said people that can't work or unwilling to work.
Yeah.
She said people that can't work or are unwilling to work will still be taken care of, given food, shelter, and whatever they need. The image in my mind is so much better than maybe driving out to Montauk in a Jaguar.
Yeah, I hate my Cadillac that I go into places.
Hitting the gas and hearing that fucking horsepower of American-made. Well, it's not that, American.
Yeah. Well, this one is. Yeah. V8. You can smell the oil burning because that's a Cadillac,
my
friend.
Wonderful.
It's a goddamn mess for the environment, and I don't care.
Internal combustion engines are being looked at now as toxic masculinity.
Yeah, they are.
Like the sound, the fact that muscle cars have come back is something that they hate. Because it burns a lot of gas. It's guys that, you know, that just conjures up the... Marie, get in the fucking Camaro. Marie, get in the fucking Camaro. Don't burn your legs on the fucking side pipes again. Every chick from the 80s has scarred on a leg from the fucking dumb side pipes that you could cook. God, you can melt lead on them. And Marie was supposed to step in with her tight leather fucking pants.
And burn herself every time she got in.
Ow!
Dude, I would drive a fucking Camaro that ran on endangered bird eggs before I got into an electric car. Fuck that.
Just Dave cracking little eggs in his. There we go.
Or just any bird eggs.
100 more of these babies, and I'm ready to go.
Killing a blue jay to get to its nest or something. Just fucking, or a white.
Fuck it.
A spotted owl. Just fucking.
Yeah, they said they don't want to build a cement wall. One of the reasons they don't want a cement wall for the border wall. First of all, it's because Trump wants it.
Right.
It would work, and they don't want that. So
sure.
It's all politics. Politics much more important than what's better for America. But they don't want to do it because, do you know that certain animals share the territory that would be divided by the wall? So where would they go? And then I'm like, you know, we don't even call them animals. That's fucking terrible. We illegal aliens is fine enough. Animals. Yeah,
can't
so they
shove that in their ass in context for saying that.
I
they
know.
Take everything else out of context.
Certain animals share this territory. Hey, easy.
Easy now.
Jesus, they're people too. I understand that.
They're
but
Mexicans.
My God, they are Mexicans, but it's so fucked
up. Between you and I and God, I agree with you.
Yeah, well.
My word.
You know, keep that for your living room when you're home alone, that kind of language.
Trying to pitch a wall
Believe
here.
Believe me. I'm the first one to drop an N-bomb when my doors lock at night, but the animal thing. A bit much.
Especially when I have to tell the security who to look out for. I mean,
right.
I use very specific terms.
You'd think he'd know.
Yes.
It's pandemonium. All the regular normal shit, they boost up to level 11, and then the shit they should be talking about, they just don't even fucking talk about.
How many, like, how many,
crazy.
Like, how many people and drugs are being shoved through now on the border while this whole stupid thing is being debated?
No, they're coming through. They're coming through the gates.
She's fucking batshit. Nancy Pelosi. She's squinting. She's chewing her own tongue.
She talks like if a horse could talk. She's like Mr. Ed. Like
yeah, yeah.
Like somebody put peanut butter on the roof of her mouth. And
did you see her at the fucking State of the Union? It's like, yeah. What are you reading? The guy's right there saying it.
She has the mannerisms of Stuart Smalley.
Yeah.
Yes. She? I've noticed that. It's very creepy.
She's crazy.
You're smart enough.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
People like you, Pelosi.
So, Mitch McConnell, this is hilarious. So AOC puts out this new green plan, and it just gets lambasted by everything. It's the funniest thing put out there. So some politicians are like, well, it's a start in the right direction, because they don't just want to say it's fucking batshit crazy. And then other ones are like, this is great. We need this kind of thing. So Mitch McConnell's like, all right, you know what? We're going to hold a vote on this. So here they're going to vote on it because they want to see who votes yes on this thing just to have it on record.
Just her.
So that if Kamala or Elizabeth Warren or any of these motherfuckers that are running for president vote yes on this thing, it could be pulled out during a debate and anything else that you voted for a plan that literally has a choo-choo in every garage.
Yes.
And fucking no airplanes. And it's batshit nuts. So McConnell's going to force the Senate to vote on this Green Deal. It's a brilliant move.
Yeah.
Knowing it's not going anywhere.
But
you'll see who voted yes.
All because you're taking a girl seriously who's one sideways Yankee head away from being a backup dancer. Good work.
Absolutely. Yeah. You fucking hired a bartender from Queens. Of course you're getting the new Green Deal.
Yeah, there's...
Holy shit. You know what's hilarious? Like, Trump is from Queens. Mm-hmm. Trump is from Astoria, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from Queens. What the fuck happened over the course of, 150 years between their ages?
That's true.
What happened to fucking Queens?
Society crumbled.
It That's did. And that is a prime example of MAGA and fucking New Green Deal.
Yes.
It's like Trump was born in Queens back in a day where, hard work mattered and ingenuity and political correctness had no place in it. And she was born in the same place at a different time. And you could just really see the differences in how shit works. What's that?
Bronx.
Bronx?
Yeah.
What about the Bronx?
That's where she says she's from.
Oh, she says she's from the Bronx.
Okay.
She's such a fucking lying shit. She's trying to pull a Jenny from the block thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't happening.
Nobody's
fucking Sandy. They called her Sandy in college. She was one of the white girls that walked around. It was, there's no difference.
Of course.
And her being one of these fucking little white girls. Where's that Sid?
Well, and the you know, urban plight spread and it caused issues. And now the people are rebuilding, putting stuff back together, making education more of a priority. You can see the change, but somehow that's racist too, to make better.
Oh, yeah, to make
areas.
An area better.
Yeah.
It, gentrification.
It's so messed up. Up.
Here he is.
Hey, man.
Sid. What's up, man?
Hey, sir.
Let me,
Sid Rosenberg, my good
Let
friend.
Me tell you what dedication is, okay?
Yeah, because it's shitty.
3 o'clock this afternoon. Now I'm down here, this part of town, 3:30 in the morning, as you know, for Bernie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm home. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in my toasty, warm Upper West Side apartment.
Oh, man.
Got the covers over me. I'm watching Riley Reid blow like 40 guys at once, take every fucking shot right in the mouth. And the last thing I want to do is get dressed on this icy, snowy, shitty day in New York City.
Yeah.
But I said, for Anthony Cumia and Dave, I wouldn't miss this for the world. So. Well,
thank you.
I watched her blow one more guy, then I left.
You know what's amazing? I felt the same way when I left my apartment.
Well, I'm sure.
I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm watching porn. Why the fuck do I want to get dressed, go out into the cold, and do that fucking
Were
Anthony
really watching
Cumia show? No.
Oh.
I was playing video games.
Do you think it's odd? Do you think it's odd that in between breaks, I'll go back to my office? Like, you'll be on a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, and as soon as you leave, it's a great segment. Donald Trump will laugh and having a great
Always
time.
Fun.
Then I'll go to my office at 9:20, and for like 3 minutes, that's how long I've got till the next segment.
Right.
I'll watch porn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You, well, you, of course, you're in recovery.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
am I doing all that well? Am I?
No, I've noticed. I've noticed a lot of people that have to, you know, watch the booze or drugs drugs.
Right.
They usually gravitate to something else.
Oh, I gave all that stuff up
For porn.
I've never been able to give that up. No.
I think
never.
When you drive through a Duane Reade, you might have an addictive gene.
Yeah. That's.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
No, that's why I limit my porn, because I also go with eating. That's a fun thing. But it usually becomes porn or food, I think, for a lot.
Porn has to become a problem before it's considered some kind of a problem addiction where you need to seek counseling from it. Or you have to be a Hollywood person that got caught doing something, and then you say you're a sex addict, and you go to rehab. Like Michael Douglas. Didn't Michael Douglas say that? He ate so much pussy, he got throat cancer.
No,
he did. He didn't say that. He actually did get it. That's a true story.
From eating pussy?
Well, not just any pussy. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Zeta-Jones.
She'd be gorgeous, but.
She got that deadly pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, when it started to affect
your marriage.
She got
a pack of Parliaments up there?
Dude, I'll take fucking pancreatic cancer if I can eat her pussy. I don't care. How's that a bad deal?
Gilbert, you got to take.
Gilbert's fucking bit on that is so funny.
That's right.
Yeah. Cancer. I would eat.
That's right.
Yeah. I'd tongue her asshole for cancer.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah, it's so goddamn funny.
You know, when it starts to affect your marriage, that's when you got to worry about porn. Like, I know guys that they're bored of sleeping with their wives or girlfriends because
called married men.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there you go. But guys with girlfriends, because they won't do the same thing. So, like, you go home, you're like, now here's what you're going to do. I'm bringing Anthony and Dave over because I just saw this in a movie today.
Oh, Jesus.
You're going to fuck them too. You're going to
kill
them.
Oh, Jesus.
And if you don't do that, then you don't live up to what I see on screen. That's when it becomes an issue. See, I still have a very sexy, sex life with my wife, and I love her. There's still lust after 27 years. It doesn't bother me. But there are guys that actually start to say, if I can't get this at home, fuck it, I'll just watch the movie.
Uh-huh.
Dave does that.
All the time. I spray it all over your glasses and throw you out of the van. But that's what I think it's fucking with relationships, though. You're right.
Yeah,
especially with the younger ones, because they don't know what, like, real just passionate sex with a woman is. It's just like, we all just fucking come on her face.
That's right.
You know what else is not even real passionate sex? Just that awkward fucking, you're too young to realize what you're doing sex. Like that, everybody watches so much porn. They know all these moves that you don't even fucking You know, you wouldn't even think of doing that. Like, when I was a kid, we were fucking around, shit like that. You would just, it was the awkward missionary position. You were groping around, trying to even find what shit is where. It was very, all very embarrassing. Now,
all the porn I made as a kid is still in an evidence locker.
Now, though, you know, like, kids know, and by kids, I'm talking about older kids, 14, 15.
They know nothing. Let me explain something to you, okay?
No one laughed at that.
I trained.
Yeah, that's true.
I once boxed Bernie McGurk in a charity boxing match, and I trained with Teddy Atlas. Teddy Atlas is one of the greatest trainers in the history of the game. And I thought I knew something, right? And I walked into the ring at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he punched me across the face.
Oh, shit.
And everything I learned went out the fucking window.
Yeah.
It was just, same thing with porn. You can watch hours and hours of porn. You're like, I can do that. I can do that. Then the girl gets naked, like, holy shit, what do I do now?
I just got punched in the face.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't, you don't learn from it. You know?
No. It's, but now you're not satisfying yourself every time, are you?
Oh, no, that would be sick.
Yeah, that's sick. But
only half the time.
So yeah. What is...
You only empty the bag so much.
So what is the what is your motivation, then, for sitting and watching it?
Well, I don't fucking know. What are you asking me for?
I don't know. I just was wondering, like...
For a couple of seconds, I find it to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, takes away from me.
I'm not faulting you. I'm just saying, what is it? I understand using it as a utilitarian tool to jack off to,
sure,
or something like,
sure,
that.
Right.
But if you're just looking and then running back...
Well, I'm going to tell you why.
Fucking Bernie.
I'm going to tell you why. That is kind of weird. You're right.
High five.
I say this.
My head looks like the tit I just saw.
Porn has made me a much better lover. And I say this to everybody, and you got to believe me when I tell you this. So here's what I would do. When I first met my wife, she's so gorgeous, I would come in like 3 seconds. 3 seconds. And that lasted like 20 years. It was very fucking embarrassing. So what I did was I started watching porn. And I would watch and watch and watch till I would get to the point of climax. And then I'd stop.
Oh.
And then I'd stop.
Edging.
And then I'd go back edging. Then I'd go back again and watch more and more and more. And I started to notice, instead of watching 3 minutes of porn and climaxing, I can do five. I can do seven.
It's like Sting with his tantric sex.
No, but
wow.
Believe it or not, this actually worked for me in bed.
Yeah?
Now I go, oh, yeah. I'm a much better lover.
You know what sells so well? Sex therapy books. Put this out. You could be Sid Rosenberg. You'd be sitting there on the cover going, yeah, fucking.
It sounds
right. Longer,
right?
In bed.
It sounds right.
It does. You're training yourself like
that's
you would,
right,
with anything else.
Dick control. That's all it comes
dick
down
control.
To.
Dick control.
Yes.
Dick control to Major Tom.
I think, though, the constant stopping, though, and starting is actually bad, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it can make you cum blood, I hope.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard it was bad, though.
It's worked for me. I don't know.
No, my stamina is definitely.
Maybe if you
better.
Eventually do let loose, or if you don't let loose, then maybe it's bad because it's all
in there.
Right.
Because I was a kid, and you would try so hard to get with a girl and stuff, and you'd get everything, but you would get called blue balls, where it would hurt so fucking bad.
Or she'd give you a hand job that tore the pubes out of you.
At that point, though, you'd wish for the hand.
Oh, there were some that were that bad where I was just like, you're hurting me.
God.
I'll do this.
Like the girl I was with upstate New York when I was probably 17, I think. She was 15, 16,
that.
And it was her first time, and I probably had sex a few times, but not. And she goes, well, okay, but you need to have a condom.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, we were literally in, it was called.
Like in a tent in fucking Monticello.
It was a cabin up in Ulster. I don't even know where it was. Right. Somewhere. Herkimer County, in the middle of the mountains and shit. And I'm like, I got a few friends with me, with their girlfriends. And I'm like, I know none of them have a fucking bag or anything.
Yeah.
So I literally, and
it's
never.
It's in their wallet and it's made of dust.
I never used a condom, so I never knew what they looked like, even.
Oh, yeah.
What they came in or anything.
No.
I know what comes in them, but I don't know what they come in. So I fucking, I'm looking up on the night table for something that someone else left, and I found a contact lens case, and I thought maybe the rubbers were in there because it was round.
Sure. I can see that.
I open it up. It's like, wow, Dave's got a small dick. Dave Simoleski, not you. My buddy Dave Simoleski. I'm looking at a contact lens going, what do? You just put it on the hole?
Seriously?
I knew it was a contact lens. I wasn't much smarter than that, but I was smart enough to know it was a contact lens. So she was so new at it.
Funny.
I just told her, I got one,
yeah,
and said I put it on. Right, and then just right. fucked her without a condom on, and she thought there was a condom.
You
I pulled
sending,
out.
Are you still sending her checks for that kid today? Or is that
no, no. I ripped that fucker out when I even thought about coming.
Right, right.
He was 8 and a half months like you can in New York.
And at that age, all you have to do, you don't even have to like pull out and hope like it. You pull out, and all you got to do is like, look.
Right.
Ah, there's your parents. It's fucking all over. So, yeah, but it was it's all very awkward.
I never knew to like roll it on when I first had.
You just
sex.
Thought it was as that.
Yeah, well, I thought you like stretched it out because I was too busy laughing hysterically
hat.
At in sex ed class.
I've never put
yeah.
one on. Never.
Yeah.
Looks like the Morton Salt girl.
Yeah, dude. It just made it baggy so it would rip.
Yeah,
like, you know, you're stretching it out and then, like, leaving it in her.
Yeah, yeah.
I would break them and I'd be like, all right, it's on.
Hey, bragger,
and just
calm down.
And apologize
break
later.
Break right through those fucking things.
I never put one on.
Relax, they were finger cots.
A girl puts one on for you. That's the way it's supposed to work, you know.
What is it?
I never put one on.
Oh, she's supposed to put one on.
Of course she does, right?
That's, I don't know. If she
by the time you start ripping off the
wrapper. If she can put it on with her mouth, you know
right, that's what we're talking about, exactly.
I don't think I'm taking you home to meet mom.
No, it's a, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Don't give her the banana!
Yeah, that's not a party trick. It's how she buys everything she has.
So, by the way, you know that all of this was a complete lie.
Yeah.
At no point was I watching porn. I don't watch porn.
Of course
At no point
not.
Was I watching Riley Reed. But it made for great conversation
of
about 10 minutes.
See?
I was sitting
See?
There watching fucking Fox News and El Chapo being guilty on every single count, all 10, watching how the Intel House Committee has now said that there is zero connection, zero, between Donald Trump and Russia, and trying to figure out why the fuck Donald Trump would sign a deal where the Democrats will give us $1.3 billion for a fucking wall where he needs about $20 billion, to be completely honest.
These are the
That's
top
really
stories
watching.
Of the day. I got to be honest. Yes, those are the top stories of the day. And I hate the deal. I hope Trump does not fucking sign this thing.
He will. Here's what he'll do.
Fuck.
Because... You know, Ann Coulter, I got a friend named Joyce Kaufman, number one talk show host in South Florida, woman, Jew from New York City, loves Donald Trump, but her best friend is Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
They are best friends, Ann, best friends. They have not talked in 3 weeks because if you are not against Donald Trump, you can't be friends with Ann Coulter. That's how mad she is.
Ann was just
the
on the show last week.
I know you're friends with her. She's still fucking Florentine?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they were ever fucking.
Oh, he fucked her.
Yeah, you think Florentine
think so?
Fucked her?
It's kind of weird. I can't tell.
They have similar hair.
Yes, they do.
Luscious locks.
At least she's still talking to you.
It's Robin Quivers.
Yeah. Well, no, I liked her stance. She is taking the... opposite stance of a lot of Trump supporters. She's still a Trump supporter.
She is.
There's
yeah.
no fuck. You know why?
Killed him on
what,
Twitter.
You know
today.
What's worse? That well, ask her. What's worse than Donald Trump? Any fucking Democrat.
Well, that's true. But you know, she's got to be more that's realistic. Right. I mean, Trump is trying. He really is trying. He's not going to be able to do it. It's not all his fault. In fact, none of it's his fault. So for her to kill him every single day on Twitter makes no sense.
He needs to. You know what? Maybe she's that fire under his ass.
Well, Ann Coulter.
Sometimes
he's going to do.
He listens to her.
He's going to take the deal. So we'll take the $1.3 billion, and then to really fuck with him, he's still going to
call an emergency.
National emergency.
That would be great.
He's going to do both. So
you
we'll
know what that money is for, by the way?
What's that?
You know the concrete barriers you see around here in New York?
Yeah.
So to keep fucking Islam from driving on the sidewalks?
Yeah.
I'm not saying terrorists. Oh, to keep those young white MAGA teens from Washington from smiling on the sidewalks at Indians.
Not the Muslim who barreled over a bunch
of kids
last year.
Right, that Muslim.
Not that
or the
racist.
Other one that drove on the fucking bike lanes or the other one that killed the girl in Times Square.
Yeah.
No. It's those fucking cement things. Oh, what is that? Let me see that Ann thing. Trump talks a good game on the border wall, but it's increasingly clear he's afraid to fight for it. Call this his yellow new deal. Shit.
Look at that. On top of that television, you've got Gary Sinise, who was on with me and Bernard this morning, by the way.
Really
the great Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump. He was so good, you would love him.
Yeah,
a guy, you know,
I like. He's a great guy. Good
great
patriot.
Guy.
Loves the
Never
military.
Admit to liking Donald Trump, but you know he loves him.
Yeah.
And his whole book is about how after 9/11, he's dedicated his
what
whole
happened
life.
On 9/11?
Something happened on 9/11.
A lot of people seem to have forgotten.
Well, he didn't. And he's dedicated his band and his acting career. Almost all of his free time goes to raising money for veterans. That's a guy who walks the walk.
Yeah.
Talks the talk and walks the walk.
With titanium legs.
Well, that was only the movie. That's not real. Yeah.
I thought Forrest Gump was real.
You know what? You want to feel old? This is a 25-year anniversary.
Oh,
Forrest
shit.
Gump.
Yeah, look at that.
Really? Oh, yeah, 94. 94. Yeah, it was 94.
25 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Not unbelievable?
You taste like cigarettes.
Everyone forgets they were also in Apollo 13 together.
Yes, they were. They made three movies together in the 1990s.
The third one was... All right, so there's Forrest Gump, obviously. Apollo 13.
That's right.
And then...
Come on.
Hold on.
Come
on. There's Gary Sinise.
I have no fucking idea what the third one was. He just said we were in three movies together. He never told me which one. Damn. He did say three.
I'm saying five.
Oh, my God, five.
In the 90s, five? Or altogether five?
Oh, in the 90s, four.
Four.
Four?
The other two.
Oh, sorry, three. Six.
Hold on. Now it's got to be something... Big. Well, I'm just trying to think.
They're all big, huge.
Wasn't
all
versus big, the volcano, was it?
No, that wasn't quite.
No, his big ones were Apollo 13, Forrest Gump, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia was big, but it's not.
That was Denzel? No?
It's not Green Mile, is it?
Black Gary Sinise.
Green Mile he was in.
Did Sinise have a cameo?
Yes.
Green Mile.
I thought so. Good. Okay.
Oh, he was the guy that the daughter's got, the son got his face bit.
Yeah.
The dog. And he,
good.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a small part.
He was still in it.
He was in it.
He was still in it.
Got
it. Sinise.
I earned this Mandy shirt.
God damn. Oh, shit.
Find Nicolas Cage film.
Oh,
if you want to see
movie.
Fast and the Furious meets Hellraiser.
Huh? What? Yeah.
So he so that's what he's going to do. He's going to call for the non-emergency, and he's going to take the money.
Well, that would be
that way he's going to try to make everybody from Ann Coulter to Nancy Pelosi somewhat happy.
Pelosi won't be happy if he declares an emergency. Chuck Schumer will just be happy to get his balls out of Pelosi's death grip. That fucking mess. I don't understand why. Like, who doesn't see this as being purely political? What is the downside of building a fucking border wall? What's the downside? Not even the upside. We know what they've talked about, the upside. What's the downside? A waste of money? Every fucking politician has been wasting our money for decades upon decades, if not centuries, in this country. So the downside is nothing more than just money. But the upside could possibly, I'm not even sure. Let's not even say it's a sure thing, which we know it is. But a wall could save American lives, could help America's economy, could help the people that are trying to get here by swaying them from dragging their kids over a desert. But they just won't budge on it. Because why? They don't want Trump to do well.
That's right. It's not even the money. $5.7 billion. You guys have to understand, we spend that monthly in Afghanistan.
Trump goes through another.
Yeah.
Trump goes into 2020 with another accomplishment under his belt.
That's it.
That's their issue.
100%.
They don't want him to be able to go, I did this, and I built that wall we talked about.
Well, and that's the problem is they think that there's going to be this perfect plan that you can't poke holes in. Of course, it's not going to be 100% effective.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to be 100% effective. And that's the problem is we keep fighting something even though it's better. It's like, if it's better, do it. If it's not better, don't. And it's proven to be better. Nothing will be 100% effective against
it. But like you said, you put a wall, you have the crossings, you beef those up, you put a lot of new technology up there. We are fucking every American in this country, America, full of Americans, we are constantly being surveilled. We are being watched constantly in our fucking homes. I got another couple of stories today about our invasion of privacy. Everything. So use some of that technology on the fucking border and watch who's coming over. Right. There shouldn't be a one square foot of that border that isn't being surveilled by some type of technology that we absolutely have readily available now.
I would say this. I did watch President Trump speak to the nation.
Hilarious.
The Union. He did a great job.
Oh, I thought you meant last night.
No, the
hilarious.
But you just now, you got something going on there, Ann.
Oh, yeah.
You should actually get on television and in Trump's stead because people hate Trump and nobody hates you.
Oh, no, I'm beloved.
Nobody hates you.
Right.
Except for him. So you should speak to the country on Trump's behalf and make that passionate
plea. That's what I'll do. People of America. When he starts pointing, I every time I see him, last night I watched his rally in Texas, hilariously funny. But he's got the prompters set up, right? And you can always tell when he's doing that. He's kind of squints. He's like, and we need a border wall to secure the secure. And then you'll see this. His eyes open up. He looks and you're like, oh, fuck, he's off book. He's off book. And he's like, this guy knows right here. He knows. He knows the tough job the Border Patrol has. Look, his wife. His wife knows he's not tough enough to handle it. Right, honey? Where you from? Where you from? Any birthdays in the rally tonight? Any birthdays? He's fucking destroying at these things.
Oh, he's great. He's great. Then you have the other asshole. You got Beto.
Oh, Beto, yeah. Yep. They actually heard the USA chants from Beto's rally because it was real close.
No, they didn't chant USA. They were flying Mexican flags
at
his rally.
At his rally.
Now, Trump did lie. Trump did say last night, I had 25,000. He had a couple of hundred. He did have a couple of thousand, Beto.
Ooh, Beto.
Still not nearly as many as Donald Trump.
Just the people waiting outside watching on big screens that couldn't get into the venue. Yeah. Were 10 times more than was watching fucking Beto.
I know, but he did fuck up this week, and I know you love him, and so does Bernie. He sends out a tweet. You guys know about this tweet he sends out, Donald Trump?
Which one?
He sends out a tweet on Sunday in his effort to get the wall, and he says, Gallup poll says 42 million Latin Americans. That's where he stopped. He didn't say criminals. He didn't say undesirables.
I read that one, yeah. I thought the same thing.
42 million Latin Americans will come into the country this year. And he goes on to then opine and go, that would be a disaster. Well, this is the same guy that referred to Mexicans as rapists and drug dealers.
Well, illegal.
He didn't say illegal in the tweet.
I know, but you got to take Trump for what he is and what he said.
You can't be president of the United States, and I like him, don't get me wrong, and say we cannot allow Latin Americans into this country because they make it worse. You can't do that. I don't give a fuck what he meant to say.
Well,
he's an idiot. And that's the problem with Trump. For every smart move he makes, which takes a lot of balls, he'll put out a tweet like that, which is moronic.
Open borders.
Stupid.
But it says open borders. So potentially attract 42 million Latin Americans. This would be a disaster for the U.S. We need a wall. The wall now. I mean, all right.
Yeah, that's not. There's no way to.
I understand.
Justify that.
Look, I get it. I'm not denying he says some really dopey shit.
Yeah,
believe me. I know that. But you got to. Why do we put every president under the same kind of microscope and think we got it? We know who Trump is. We know how he speaks. He's not very good. He's not eloquent, to say the least. And
that's hateful.
I'm willing to.
Racist.
It's not. He means. Well, I know what he means.
It doesn't matter.
I know what he means.
And by the way, no one's going. He tweeted that. It's not like we went back and found something he wrote to a buddy on a napkin in fucking docks on Third Avenue.
I know what it means.
Moron tweeted
Everyone
that.
Should know what it means. He's talking about the wall. He mentions open borders. Right. So it's not about this many Latin Americans coming in legally for the country. He meant them coming across the open border, which was in the same tweet.
I don't know. How do you know he doesn't hate Latin Americans? How do you know?
When
was the last time J-Lo performed at fucking Mar-a-Lago?
He might. You know what you won't find?
Well, I mean, her life.
Picture Donald Trump in blackface.
I mean,
you won't find that.
In fairness.
You won't find Donald Trump in blackface from the 80s.
You didn't do that?
That's for sure. Not that I know of.
Right, okay.
I don't know. Maybe he was fucking working on a job site in his youth, one of his dad's buildings.
And could be.
Got some soot on his face.
I mean, the buildings where they said
he, could,
he actually put the letter B on the... On the, what do you call those when you try to get into something? It's called a...
Application?
Application for blacks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Fred so actually...
If he was racist, he would have used another letter. See?
I was just thinking it has nothing to do with anything Morrissey could perform at the White House. That's not a bad idea. Latins love him.
They do.
And he,
they
and
do.
He
Hispanics
said...
Hispanics love Trump, man.
And Morrissey said, you know, Chinese people aren't fully developed people.
That's right. Chinese people, first of all, I will never drink
subhumans.
A Coke
subhumans
near them.
That's what he said.
Because I heard me Chinese, me make joke, me make pee-pee in your Coke. So I never open a Coca-Cola in front of a Chinaman. No.
Oh, man.
I don't. Look, we know what Trump is. That's why none of this shit from his past affected anyone that liked Trump. Because we knew already.
Oh, I know.
We knew. We grew up, especially if you grew up in New York, you knew Trump well before the rest of the country did.
You know, it's
before
funny.
Before Apprentice.
It's funny you say that. And I like him. Don't get me wrong. I'll never vote Democrat as long as Donald's in office. But I think he's a moron. I do. I think he's effective and he's got balls.
It's a personality.
He's a moron. But I was watching American Psycho a couple days ago.
Yeah.
By the way, do you remember the shape that he was in for that movie.
You know, the guy was jacked as a motherfucker.
Unfucking
and then he gets emaciated for The Machinist.
Right.
And then he gets jacked for Batman.
And he was
and then
emaciated
he gets
again.
Fat for fucking Chaney.
Right.
Dude, the guy's insane.
And he was skinny too for Dickie Ward when he Mark Wahlberg. What's his name again, the actor?
It was...
great actor. Okay, you won the Academy Award. Come on, help me out here.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, thank you.
Christian Bale.
Well, it was The Fighter. Yes. The Fighter. He got skinny as fuck.
Mark Wahlberg.
And he got fat in that 70s movie where the...
Yeah, you got the belly, which
yeah, the belly.
I just call it the terrible, overrated wig movie. The fucking movie where they're just in silly wigs. Bradley Cooper's in it, and it's awful. Yeah.
So there's two parts of the movie which I think you'll find fascinating. The movie's got to be 35 years old. He's having lunch with his buddies.
I love the movie.
Greaseback, Wall Street guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
One guy is complaining about something going on, and Christian Bale goes, "Stop. Let's talk about the real issues going on today. How are we going to stop these fucking terrorists?"
Yeah.
What about the taxes in New York City? Who's going to clean up the fucking subway? I'm watching Christian Bale from 35 years ago and holy, all we talk about is how bad it is today and Donald Trump. It's the same shit. He mentioned terrorism and taxes and illegal immigration in a movie 35 years ago.
Well, when was the movie made?
98. I want to say 98, actually. 98?
Is it 98? 99? I thought it was...
American.
Later American Psycho.
American Psycho.
American Hustle was...
2000.
2000.
It's 18 years ago.
Well, he just snuck under 9/11. Because that would have been like, all right. But he kind of predicts that.
It's still
but
the 80s, I think
he did get the World Trade Center thing. Well, the movie was...
It actually starts with a...
About the 80s.
It is. And it starts with a photo of a video of the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
As he's going to work.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, and I love Bret Easton Ellis, who wrote that book, and he's fucking being blackballed by Hollywood now for his... it's this that you have one.
Oh.
You wrote it.
Right, permanently
suspended. What's it called? Where's it available?
Everywhere.
But yeah, he wrote that, and he's another one who the industry fucking hates because...
Why is that?
Gay Republican.
Oh,
he's got his own podcast, and he wrote Less Than Zero. He wrote American Psycho.
Great movie too.
Yeah.
American Psycho.
Robert Downey Jr. just played himself. It's kind of like Stern in Private Parts.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, what a fucking great acting job.
Yeah.
Meantime, he gets arrested the next day for tar heroin and sleeping with some strange girl.
Yeah. It's all about Allison. Allison.
Except they make him live in the movie.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it all about Allison?
Didn't they get divorced 8 days after?
It was like, it wasn't long after. It's like, ooh, I could get models robbing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. To the Howie Copter. We're going to the Hamptons, Robin.
That story.
My girlfriend's got cats to give away.
The whole blackface thing. It. I don't think I've been more annoyed with a big story, Aunt and Dave, in my whole life. I mean, I got to tell you, time and time again, in the 80s and 90s, I dressed as black people.
Oh, my
goodness. We had some lady call our show. She goes, let me tell you something. White lady. My son, white kid, red hair. We live on Long Island, out by you probably, with all the fucking swingers and drug addicts and shixes and biggest fucking degenerates God ever made. Long Island is a den of iniquity, a fucking bunch of lowlifes. So she goes, my son paid homage to Martin Luther King last year.
Paid homage?
Go, that's great. Fantastic. How'd you dress him up? I put him in a blue suit.
Oh.
Okay. And I put him in a blue suit.
That's it?
He's a white kid with red hair, you fucking retard. Yes. I refuse to put black on his face because that would be disrespectful. I go, wait a second. Wasn't he a black guy?
Yeah.
If I go as Darryl Strawberry, is a 16 Met jersey going to do it? 18, excuse me. I got to paint my face. That's not black face.
No.
That's painting your face black because he's a fucking black guy. What's wrong with that?
In fairness, though, a teenage ginger is going through about the same amount of hell as
oppression, abuse, and everyone wants to shoot him in the face.
Exactly.
So you make a valid point, Dave. Has anyone ever done this? This would be a good twist on it. You wear the suit, right? You got he had that little mustache and everything,
right?
And maybe you have, like, I Have a Dream on you or something. But you paint your face green. And you go as Martin Luther King.
Ooh. I like it.
Has anyone ever done that? I'm certain there's a Martin Luther King. Because it's not blackface. It's green face.
Maybe.
I just thought of this.
Maybe Matthew McConaughey, after smoking all the weed left in California.
Right.
Did that once.
Maybe he did it once, played some bongos naked, and dressed as, I'm Martin Luther King. How you doing? Playing the bongos naked. I have a dream.
Why can't you do a dead on fucking McConaughey? Dude, you got every voice. It's
I
amazing.
Love fucking McConaughey. Oh, I did the Tonight Show with
he's
McConaughey.
The best. Nobody
is
better.
That right?
It was fucking
oh,
awesome.
Yes, you said that in your book. Yeah, that's
yeah. Right. McConaughey and Jay Leno.
Some other guy you didn't want to talk.
Yeah, the Obster. Oh my God. But McConaughey was there, and he's so fucking cool. Oh,
he's the best.
And Leno, because he's such a motorhead, he had a blender with a gas chainsaw motor on it, and we made margaritas in it. And fucking at the end of the show, I'm standing on the stage of the fucking Tonight Show out at the audience toasting McConaughey and drinking a fucking frozen margarita. I'm like, this is fucked up. Whoa. How did this ever happen?
Life gets no life. Better.
It's crazy, dude.
But it's got to be your second best moment after getting a blowjob from Ruth Buzzy back in 1986.
There's Martin Luther King. All right. I see what they did. Oh, my. I have a dream today. I have a dream that someone stole my Putium Q38 modulator.
That is great. And green happens to be the color today with this psycho Ocasio-Cortez. And
the green deal, yeah.
And everything, Dave's asshole, these walls.
Is the Empire State Building going to light up green for the bill?
Yes.
Lit up pink for ripping kids out of women's wombs at fucking 9 months?
No more cow farting? None of that.
Right. No farting cows. No air travel.
No.
That's great.
Rip down every building. Don't take a bus. Don't take a plane.
Let me tell you something. If man were meant to fly, he'd have wings. Am I right? Can I get you another drink?
Yeah, AOC.
I heard she was a very good bartender.
How about some how about some ATM, AOC?
Dude, her crazy eyes, I wouldn't trust that bitch to give me the specials. Are you kidding me?
All right, tonight we have a tomahawk ribeye. Yeah.
No, we don't.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
No, we don't. You are so lying. So you have lollipop pork chops.
It's just the
her eyes are crazy. You know has
crazy fuck eyes. Look at her.
She does.
She's cute, though.
But last night.
Oh, I'd fuck her. Don't get me wrong.
You watched Channel 7 last night. The girl that went to prison.
Yeah.
There's a girl named Michelle Carter. She has eyes like Cortez, crazy eyes. There was a young boy in Boston who's in love with this little bitch, and he wanted to kill himself. So he's in his truck, and he's about to kill himself. And he decides, you know, he's putting the gas on the car, but he's dying. He gets out of the car, gets out. He calls, texts her. He goes, I'm not going to do it. She goes, oh, hold on a second. You finish what you started. You get back in that truck, and you finish what you started. And this kid killed himself.
Oh,
like, long story short.
Oh, right, her.
Oh, yeah. Eugene Levy eyebrows.
Talking about an alien.
She started a 15-month prison sentence last night. This bitch who should have done 40 years, but she's a minor. She's one of the most evil people on the planet. This poor kid is dead, but she's got crazy eyes like AOC.
She looks like this could be the sister of, like, Ron and Clint Howard.
A little bit.
Like, she got a wacky look.
She looks like
that
a
forehead.
She looks like a fucking Geico caveman is what she looks.
Oh my God.
It's the fucking her eyebrows.
Isn't it amazing? We just never even commented on her crimes and we go
right to that.
How she looks. Oh, I
know. You know what's funny about both of you guys? Much like Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
Even the way she looks, crazy eyes and her crimes.
Yeah.
You love the fucker girl.
I love Casey Anthony.
Of course.
Casey Kasem Anthony. And now, how to kill your baby and get away. Coming in at number two, it's duct tape.
It's throw her in the woods.
I'm Casey Kasem.
You know her attorney, a very good friend of mine, Jose Baez.
Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy.
And now,
Jose Baez
from the supergroup ABBA.
Baez got her off. He's now the lawyer for Harvey Weinstein.
Ah,
yes. Really?
What a gig that is.
He was Aaron Hernandez's lawyer, too.
Oof.
Aaron Hernandez, of course, killed himself in prison. Yeah. The same guy, Jose Baez.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend, yeah.
He had, what did he choke himself, right?
Choked himself.
Choke yourself. Yeah, he hung himself
in jail, yeah. Yeah.
But his jerseys are way cheaper now.
Is that?
I mean, there's a silver lining to everything.
Yeah, there's a good side. Everyone looks at the negative. Yeah. I don't get it. There's just some fun stuff going on that we obviously want to talk about today. We already addressed some of the things in the news. Thank you.
All of them.
Because it's It's bizarre. I don't want the deal going through. The green thing. What do you think, though, of McConnell saying that they're going to run this thing and he's going to vote? They're going to vote on the green thing to put people on record to see who fucking votes yes on this thing.
Well, I think that you're going to see a lot of the big folks on the left, folks Anthony and Dave that are running for president. I'm talking about people like Kamala Harris.
Right.
All these
Elizabeth Warren.
It's Warren, right?
What do you think they're going to do? Fucking run?
Klobuchar. No, they're going to vote yes.
Oh, but yeah. Then they have that. Like, anyone that wants to debate them could be like, do you you really voted yes for something this ludicrous?
See, that's why, believe it or not, a guy that I can't stand, but he's going to have some appeal because he's not crazy to the left like you're going to find Liz Warren, Kamala Harris, this idiot Cory Booker. One guy that's not as far to the left as them that may have some appeal, believe it or not, is Mr. Starbucks himself, Howard Schultz.
Yeah. I think so. Appeal. You know what? I think it's not that easy to run a business and make a lot of money like he did without having the ability to compromise, having an ideology that isn't slammed to one side of the spectrum.
That's right.
So, yeah, good.
He's a generous guy. He allows black people to take a shit in his bathrooms.
That's amazing.
One in
more than I allow. My house.
I mean, there's a compromise for you, right?
Yeah, that's a hell of a compromise.
Take a shit.
Well, what?
All right, come on in.
All right.
Which is it?
I let the Mexicans
my
pool house bathroom when they're doing the gardening.
I just hand them a bucket. I go, take that home with you.
Ooh, thank you. Gracias. No, I have Italian landscaper.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, this guinea comes around. He's like, hey.
Well, it's probably the same guy. If you put a football bet in on Sunday, he does that too. If you want to buy
probably.
Some football on Saturday,
oh, is that,
he does that too.
He does that.
Yeah, that's
he's
him.
A little old guy. He might be Portuguese or something. I don't know what he is.
I usually hire
very good.
Yeah. I hire the Italian groundskeeper, and then usually Mexicans show up, oddly enough.
Yeah.
You always hire the guy, and then it's like, oh, here's your crew.
Then there's this Asian guy. He's got this little broken down minivan, and he pulls up to my garbage when I put out all the recycling and everything, and goes through every bag and pulls out bottles and cans, but he puts everything back like to a T. Once I was pulling out of my driveway when he was there, and he goes, I get the cans, but you never know I hear. I'm like, oh, okay, you do that, whatever you gotta do. And he does, he straightens up, so it's like, but for him, my house, it's like an old prospector for gold that hit the main vein. He's like, oh, when he comes to my house, there's some beer cans and bottles to, he's paying the rent.
He's a homeless guy, an Asian homeless guy?
I don't know if he's homeless. He just collects cans and
that's
shit.
Weird,
he's got a vehicle, so.
Right.
You know, Gino Visconti's terms, that's not homeless.
Right.
If you have a vehicle.
I think Gino's right. If you're homeless, if you've got a vehicle. And you're Asian,
yeah.
You just can't be homeless.
Officer, I wasn't driving. I live here. Oh, Gino, I got you.
By the way, if Gino didn't do the fucking show here, he may very well be stealing cans from your front yard as well.
He might
be.
I love Gino.
He's the best.
He's fun to go out with.
Did he win the Super Bowl?
He's,
did he have the Patriots?
I think he did. He had the Pats and the under.
Oh, good. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Good. He did very well on that one.
You've been having an issue.
No, I just did the boxes at the house.
Okay,
we set up boxes, had a party.
You were, about midway through the season, I thought you were going to GA. You were close.
I enjoy gambling.
Yeah, me too.
I do enjoy, not as much as blackjack. Like, I like blackjack. Playing blackjack is my
you're great at it.
Game.
Can you take them for 50 grand this summer?
Knock wood. I'm going to Atlantis in spring. So I'm all ready to fucking sit there and try to take. I went there once and had to smuggle like 50 G's out, giving 10 grand to everybody that was with me. Oh, that was treacherous at the airport.
Scary there, because
like,
they look at you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, he just won money.
I'm the worst, too, by the way. I have no game when it comes to the customs people and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm the sweaty guy. Ah, what? And I got, like, nothing. I got nothing on me, and I'm still Mr. Guilt. I watched that show Locked Up Abroad, and you see these guys, they got fucking opium and heroin in their bags. They're rolling a pass, and they're like, passport, here you go. Nice hair, man. And then they just walk out, and they're like, ha, 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 I got heroin.
Just like George Young and Blow.
I'm fucking crazy.
No problem.
Yeah. I didn't declare a fucking Hummel I bought in Curacao. And I'm like, I'm going to prison.
Dude, I'll go through with, like a fake fucking pair of sunglasses. And I'm like, I hope they don't ask where I got them.
Shove them up your ass.
Exactly.
Why? We're home already. We made it. Shove them up your ass anyway.
Wearing shit-covered Ray-Bans on the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to get them home. I was nervous.
I was smuggling these dildos and butt plugs.
I had to put them somewhere.
I go home and practice with them for the next time.
I got my son a maraca. You just shake and hear it.
Maraca. Handle first isn't bad, but ooh.
Boy, I went the other way.
The other way is.
Lollipop.
Ooh. Yeah. But I love that. And I was reading a story. I sent it to Gavin because I'm sure he would get a kick out of it. The Vice founder, Shane Smith, he's a Vegas high roller. This guy's been known. We were with him in Atlantic City, I think it was, once, and he fucking gambles, man. This guy's betting, and that's me saying that, and I have bet a lot at some of these tables. The bearded Canadian, he gambles. High roller who bets $25,000 chips.
That's a lot.
And gives huge tips to dealers, sources say. Now, all right, I never bet a $25,000 chip, but I have had more than 30 grand up on one hand. I was playing three and $6,000 each.
Okay, that's 18.
And then I had to double down on one.
That's 24.
And then split.
Oh, my God, over 30.
Yeah, yeah, it was over 30 grand and one flip of the card.
You won it?
I won that one.
You busted?
Yeah, dealer busted.
Oh, my. Now, do you get up at that point? See, me either.
There's money to be made.
Listen.
Now I got a great bankroll to break the bank here.
You know, I got to tell you, this day, I still get letters from some fucking place I've never heard of called Barnegat, Little Egg Harbor in Atlantic City, because I was up like you, 40,000, 50,000. I'm going to Europe. I'm going shopping.
Oh, no.
Not 2 hours later, I had a blow by the 25-cent toll because I had no fucking money left.
Holy shit.
At least the only thing you blew was by the 25-cent toll.
With interest, it accrued to like $90. So I owe the town of like Barnegat $90. They can blow me. They're never going to get it. But the point is,
it's like, you owe me 50 G's.
Yeah, I was up 50,000 and I couldn't pay the quarter fucking toll.
Oh,
it happened more than once.
Believe me, I know. I've been there too.
There's money to be made.
I've been there too.
I still $100,000 on a football weekend. I go back the next Sunday because there's money to be made.
The best thing that
you
could
still gamble. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
No, it's cool. Absolutely.
You still gamble? Okay.
It's a winning prospect.
The best thing that could happen is you win right at the end of your night. Like I've been there at 8 a.m. from the entire night, and I'm just shot. My body just can't function anymore, and I have to go back to my room. If I'm winning at that point, that's fucking awesome, because then you need to go, call me up, I'm out of here, motherfucker.
Well, the difference between you and I is, not anymore, but I had plenty of coke. So if it's 8 o'clock, and my body's...
I've been on rum and coke, and that's a lot different.
Yeah,
I'll be right back. You get to that shoot, I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
I'll come back.
Yeah.
I'll be like all over my face. I mean, I didn't even try to fucking hide it.
Yeah.
We got this, bitch. Let's go.
Cocaine.
Losing every fucking hand. Losing, losing.
Yeah,
I'm doing more coke and I'm betting more. But I don't have a fucking problem, do I?
It's the only way to win. You got to bet more.
Here you go. Thank you.
Yeah, cocaine is always good judgment fuel. Like, you've already used good judgment to do the cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're up with it, controlling your every move with the gamble. Oh, my God.
When during the campaign, when Donald Trump would be sweating and doing shit with his lip.
Yeah.
And they actually said.
Oh, God.
He was doing. Remember that one night specifically?
Yeah, yeah. There is no. No one has come forward and said Donald Trump, they've ever seen him drink or do drugs.
He won't, because his brother died.
His
brother Fred, and it made him so sick to his stomach. He doesn't drink. He doesn't drug. That's how crazy the left got.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's doing coke.
Coke, really? Is he? God.
And you got to give some credit to him, too, because that's a good example of look what Fred did with his money and look what Donald did.
Yeah, there you go.
President.
Right? Oh, daddy's money. Well, he could have gone the same route that his brother did, but he didn't.
No, pretty much one way or the other, you know.
That's a good point.
So the bearded Canadian here, Shane Smith, said to be worth $1 billion 2 years ago. He flies with his family to Vegas on private jets provided by MGM. Mm-hmm. With Vice expecting a $50 million loss this year and round of layoffs underway, they'll trim off 10% of its workforce, and he's still playing blackjack in a private salon, $25,000 orange chips known as pumpkin. Those aren't pumpkins. I play with pumpkins. Those are thousands. What the fuck are they talking about? Maybe the private room pumpkins are 25,000. I've never.
What are the regular pumpkins? 500?
Thousands.
Oh, thousand. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I have some, because I've snapped a few covert pictures of the stack that I had
a
few times. And they just, see, I like building these giant towers. So I'll sit there. One night I was sitting there. I had a stack of thousands and 500s. And I'm just going, chrick, chrick, chrick at the top of the stack. Yeah. This woman next to me who's been betting the minimum the whole night is like, could you not do that? I just looked. I was like, no. Rick, Rick, I can't. More importantly, I won't. Rick, Rick, tell me. I put my ass on the line for this fucking two stacks, the Twin Towers, bam.
How do you sit at a table if you're betting $1,000 a hand with some Chinese lady betting $5 a hand who has no fucking idea what she's doing?
$5.
She's hitting on 13.
Yeah.
Dealer showing a 6. How do you stay there?
I'll do it. It's what I do at the beginning of the night usually because it's a slow build.
Okay.
I don't get in trouble quickly. I could build it up slow, and then once I get that stack, then I can move over into the high roller section. Right. It's a way to kind of hedge your bet against losing a lot at the beginning of the night.
I like it.
Because when you lose at the beginning of the night,
it's over.
Oofa.
Right.
Now you're at the cage. Hi.
I've done that.
American Express.
I've left Brooklyn at 7:30 in the morning, gotten to Trump Plaza at 10 o'clock in the morning, and been back on the expressway at 10:06.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine that.
Nothing worse.
No.
I worked for my dad.
Oh.
And my dad was in Florida on vacation, so he left the business to me.
Brutal. Yeah.
And it was a Friday. It was payroll.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
So he leaves me the check to go to Provident Bank on Communipaw Avenue in Jersey City the check and pay everybody on Friday. So my thinking is, this is great. I can leave really early Friday morning, be back by noon, pay everybody, and make a killing in Atlantic City.
Have the coyote take the chickens to the farmer. Farmer needs the chickens. The coyote's perfectly able to carry them in his mouth and bring it to the farmer.
So, you can imagine my father's reaction when he got the phone call at 6 o'clock that night. Where's our money? We didn't get paid today.
Jesus.
And he said, Sydney's got the money. We haven't.
Oh, no. You motherfucker.
We haven't seen or heard from Sydney. We have no idea where he is. So then my father starts to call me, and I did this all the time. I didn't pick up the phone. But these were the stories
that
gambling had me doing. So you're a responsible gambler.
Well,
normal.
I've had some big losses, that's for sure. But I try to do everything in my power to keep it at a minimum, and especially at early on in the night, I don't go immediately to high roller and start betting thousands. I'll start literally $25 table, build up that stack to where I could start betting hundreds, things like that. Move around if I'm not feeling it at a table and stuff like that. Early on, you want to get some traction early on. Don't sit and think you're going to sit there at the beginning of the night and turn the dealer around or switch, you know, get the shoe to turn. Get the fuck up. Take the loss because it's not that big. It's you had a few hands at $25 a hand or something.
Right.
Move to another table. When you start seeing that feeling, the table's good. You got a full table of guys that know what they're doing. They're fun. And the dealer's one of those guys that loves paying out.
Yeah.
I am fucking there. And then you start betting. It's just there's no real logical mathematic rhyme or reason to that. It's more of a feel.
It's a feel.
But it works, goddammit. There's something about it.
Well, you keep winning. I mean, you had that
fucking
double
awesome.
With 50 grand this summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you nearly sunk the fucking boat, Keith's boat. You had so much cash.
Oh, when we were at the Gold Nugget at the docks down there. What a great
I'm like
4th of July.
I'm like 50 feet away at the Hard Rock.
Yeah,
July 4th.
Yeah.
I can't win. If they said to me, here's what the dealer has, go beat him.
Yeah.
I still couldn't win.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's collecting $100 bills like
a black bag full of cash.
That feels good.
Going back to the boat, like, with Keith, obviously, and Keith, you know, he don't fuck around. So I felt pretty good. But the worst was the night, because Keith was...
You played all morning, though, right?
Like, yeah,
you were well into the... Yeah.
Into the morning. But, that morning when I left and went back to the boat, I went with just the chips.
Oh.
And that was scary.
Well, that's got to be
looking around
scary.
Like, fuck that. But then I traded him in for, you know, cash.
Real cash.
I went with Keith.
Fantastic.
But it was, I have a lot of fun doing that. It's, but I'm not like a football better guy. I do it. It's fun to do with Gino. Because he's such a fucking ridiculous
he's
ass.
Crazy. But when he doesn't bet a lot. I do. See, when you go to a casino, you got to put the money out, right? You can't sit at the blackjack table and go, well, I can, actually. But you probably can if you want.
I've got markers.
$20,000, give me $50,000.
Marker.
They got to give him cash.
Yeah.
Right? With football, you go, that's Sid Rosenberg. That guy's fucking great. Morning star. Got to be worth $5 million. Not even close, man. For the week, you want $25,000? I go, well, you just called me a fucking radio star. What's $25,000? I don't got $2,500. What's $25,000? You want $50,000? That sounds better.
And now you're like, I can't ruin his impression of me by turning it down.
Right.
The guy thinks I'm fucking worth enough money to take 25 G's.
Right.
I better take the 25 G's.
You're betting quarters and halves and second halves and games and all this stuff.
God.
And it becomes another job. See, like, I got to the point in my life where I hate gambling. Like, you love it. Like, for you,
fun, yeah.
What's a better night for Anthony Cumia? A big one at the blackjack table?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or anal sex?
Oh, my God.
From your girlfriend.
Oh, jeez. Well, my ass hurts afterwards, so.
Hey.
Actually, in both of those scenarios, I wound up with a reamed asshole.
Yeah. I think I would rather be pegged than lose a shitload of money.
I meant to say with your girlfriend. That's a very good point.
I hear you.
That's a Donald Trump tweet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what I meant? Donald Trump. Speaking of anal sex with your girlfriend, Steven Singer Jewelers.
I'm going to go pee.
If you want anal sex with your girlfriend, we love Steven Singer, even though he's the most hated jeweler out there. Valentine's Day this week. What are you doing? And if you haven't acted now, you still have a couple of days to be a hero this year. Follow my advice and talk to the man people love to hate. Philly's own Steven Singer. You heard me. He's hated. I hate Steven Singer. Steven is the most hated jeweler in America because he offers a different type of experience, some people say. I say experience, like inner city people. Perfect price every day. No sales, no codes, no gimmicks or other yes bullshit. And this year, for Valentine's Day, he's got a real treat for the ladies in your life. Picture this. It's a real long-stem American Beauty rose, lavishly dipped in pure 24-karat gold. It lasts forever. You heard right, forever. And they start at just $59. $59. And with it, you get this magic elixir for your typhus. You don't even need water. It won't wilt and die like your grandmother. This is something unique, something special that's going to last forever. These roses come with your own personalized love note in Steven Singer's signature gift box for free. All that, $59. Shipping free. Go right now, IHateStevenSinger.com, and see what the hell I'm talking about. IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price. This is a gift she's going to cherish forever and ever. Look at that. They're going to find these fossilized in 10,000 years and go, what the hell is this? And someone go, I heard tell the myth of Steven Singer when man flew in the air back before AOC ruined everything. And now we live in wasteland, the forbidden zone. They'll still find these roses. Taylor! Taylor, a talking human? What is this gold-covered rose? My God, you're an ape. Steven Singer Jewelers. I got a tap dance for Steven Singer, man. Oof, we love him. We love our sponsors here.
Yeah.
Iraq, did you have something?
I was just going to say, you better act fast because we're looking at their webpage and a lot of them have sold out.
See what happens? Because they're fucking great. They know. Women love these because look at how nice it looks. They are very beautiful.
They are beautiful,
And they smell like gold. I don't know what that smells like. Is there a Jew in the house? Tell me if this smells like gold. You guys have an extra sensory organ in your olfactory. How racist. Actually, it's anti-Semitic. You see all the anti-Semitism going around these days?
And it seems like the state of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
You got Keith Ellison.
Who would think? Islamic Somalis move in, and the place goes anti-Semitic.
Right. That's funny. You're right.
It's crazy.
Well, you got Keith Ellison, and then you got this latest hijab-wearing
Omar.
She's apologized since.
Half-assed apology.
Half-assed apology.
And she hasn't changed her mind and thought process. The
whole Democratic Party. Yeah. Let's not forget that you've got this this cunt, Linda Sarsour.
That's all.
She's a cunt, and she's out there hanging out with the, you know, with fucking Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah, yeah. They won't denounce that. No one denounces Farrakhan.
Then you get this Kirsten Gillibrand, this piece of shit up in Troy, New York, running for president. She's best friends with Linda Sarsour. She wrote a piece about Linda extolling her virtues in the New Yorker magazine.
Isn't that amazing? Her virtues.
Cory Booker can't stand Israel. So you got all these Democrats, which is amazing because I come from a Jewish family, and all they do is vote Democrat. My brother-in-law, Harry, his parents both survived the Holocaust. His little brother, Isaac, was killed
one year
old.
Did they work in the tower?
They
survived
actually,
the Holocaust.
It's actually an amazing story.
I love that one.
That's that guard tower joke is so... made that one up?
It does always
died in a concentration camp. He fell out of the guard tower. Oh, is that a perfect joke?
Imus made that joke.
Imus.
Yeah, I think it was him.
He was a nappy-headed Nazi.
Yeah, for sure.
Nappy-headed Nazi, baby.
So it's a great story.
Here's Iclon B.
His father ran off the death march in Poland.
Oh.
He was with his mother. They got separated in Auschwitz. And then he ran off the line somewhere.
Is there a PA there? We have a missing child. Little Jonah needs to find his parents. They got off the train together. If you see him, please report to Dr. Mengele's office. I don't think that was happening.
No. And a few years later, at a party in the Bronx, miles and miles away from Nazi Germany, at a party in the Bronx, Joseph and Helen, who were together when they were ripped apart in Nazi Germany, ended up at the same party, unbeknownst to each other.
Wow.
And they got married.
What a strange turn of events that is.
And they're both gone. They're a lovely couple. And my brother-in-law, Harry, was their second son. The first son was killed in Nazi Germany. One year old, they killed him.
Jesus.
And here's my brother-in-law, Harry, who happens to be, you think Bernard's smart. My brother-in-law, Harry's the smartest guy I know. This guy does a New York Times crossword puzzle like you take a piss. He's read every book.
During commercials?
This motherfucker votes for Democrats every time. His parents had numbers on their arm. The Democrats hate the Jews. We've given you now seven examples, and yet Jewish people will still vote for Democrats.
I don't get it. It doesn't seem to make sense. There seems to be this weird penchant for just self- mutilation and degradation. Why would any self-respecting Jew? It's guilt, right?
We guilt.
Vote for Jews, guilty Democrat. People. I didn't know.
Let me tell you why we're guilty.
Yeah. The mothers
fucking
don't ever
people.
See
you are Christians, whatever the hell you are. You
Catholic,
go out tonight.
We're very guilty.
We're Catholic. Guilty. We just don't give a shit.
You go out tonight and you rape a girl. Okay, you rape.
All right. Sid told me to.
That's fine.
I was going to do two, but if you want to...
Yeah.
So you go rape this chicken, you bitch.
This guy's like some kind of a fucking Nostradamus.
Yeah, right?
Wow, how did he figure out what my plans were?
How did you know tonight's the night?
The evening.
Were you reading my
Jesus
diary?
Right. So you rape this fucking chicken.
That plans off. Wow.
Then you bash her over the head, you leave her there to die. Okay?
Right.
So now you raped her, you nearly killed her. Maybe even fucking kill her.
Do I fuck her after I kill her like Ted Bundy?
A little longer.
Whatever you like.
I'm almost there, Sid. Yeah. A little more of your fan fiction.
But here's
great erotics.
Here's how you fucking people work.
Oh.
So the next day, you can go to your priest. You go to your fucking
absolution.
What do you call it?
Yes.
What do you call that? The booth you go in? The confessional.
Yeah.
Forgive me, Father. I raped the girl. I fucked her in the ass and then I killed her. Say your 40 Hail Marys, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Right.
You can do the same thing tomorrow night. Go back to the same fucking confession. You're good to go. Yeah. Us, we get one day. If we rape a chick the day after Yom Kippur, we got to wait 364 days for fucking atonement.
Oh, man.
That's why we're so goddamn guilty. We can't go to a priest the very next day and go, forgive me, Father, I fucked her in the ass.
Forgive me, Father.
That's why the Jews are guilty.
Yes.
We have one day. And if you fuck up the day after Yom Kippur, you got to wait a whole year. To atone.
My son, shove rosary beads up your ass and pull them out like you're starting a lawnmower.
Three Hail Marys, two Our Fathers, and a rusty trombone.
Okay, kneel, my son. We're not in the confessional, Father. What do you want from me?
Exactly. You already forgave me. Oh, no.
But what happens to Jewish people after death? There's no heaven or anything, right? What is there?
I've been asking, yeah.
What is there?
We go to the Catskills.
There's that's wonderful.
There's
you spend
hell,
eternity
right?
in a bubble-filled giant champagne glass in Mount Airy Lodge.
No, we don't go there.
That's for the
Goyim.
That's for the Goyim.
Poconos is for the Goyim.
You go to that...
Monticello, Fallsburg.
What was that other place? Grossinger's?
Grossinger's, a Concord.
Yeah, yeah.
Now a casino, by the way. It's now the one in Queens, a big casino, the resort, Resorts World.
Yeah, yeah.
We had
it was like Dirty Dance in those places.
Exactly right. I still go there. My parents live in White Lake, New York, 6 miles from Monticello.
You and it's still go.
Old men play softball on Sunday mornings. We got the casino on Saturday night. The men go back to work during the week. The women stay up there all week long. They bang the fucking Viggo Mortensen, you know, shirt guy. And then we come up on the weekends. Yes. That was a great movie. Viggo Mortensen and Diane.
Hilarious. Yeah.
The Doc Stuhl was banging the fucking shirt guy. And this still happens today.
That's hilarious, isn't that man. Great? It is. There's plenty to do out there in the world if you're so motivated.
What's the punishment? Because you're the chosen people, there's just no punishment? You just have to atone?
You just atone. Okay. So they have something called tashlich, where you take a piece of bread.
That's delicious.
Bless you.
It's not a meal.
Oh.
You go to a body of water.
Okay.
You take a piece of bread. You throw it into the body of water. And now you're casting all your sins.
Does an above-ground pool count?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For you, it's perfect.
Hit Casey Anthony's baby.
So I once had my friend Curtis Fryer pull up with a fucking bread truck.
Oh, shit.
Bread wasn't going to work for
me. Ain't working.
I swear to you, he pulled up in a fucking Wonder Bread.
Oh, the whole bakery in that fucking place.
Thing. And when I was done, the rabbi said, not good enough.
Yeah. So where do you end up, though? Is there an afterlife?
Yes, we go to heaven.
And it's heaven.
It's heaven.
Is it good? Is it just like ours?
Same thing.
The Catholic heaven's pretty good. The lambs, the lions.
What happens?
Oh. I don't know. All you know, your right hand to God, clouds, wings. Awesome. From what I hear,
no
I have no idea.
I don't know. Well, there's purgatory. You got to wait a little while, right. And then you go
you
to heaven.
Believe in heaven. Do you believe in heaven or not? Do you believe in God?
I don't know what I believe in. Give me a fucking hour. I'll change my mind.
Midnight mass on Christmas?
The only time I go to church are weddings and funerals.
So you never been? When was the last time you went to church?
Probably to fuck a girl that said, I need to go to church for like Christmas or something.
Right.
And I was like, okay, honey.
Confession. When was the last time you had a
I have never confessed my sins.
So you're a horrible Christian. You're,
wow. They would
have thrown you to the, well,
ooh, boy. Wow. Don't spread that around. Sid, you'll ruin my reputation as a fine, upstanding Catholic. Now, a lot of Catholics don't give a fuck. I went to that.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Yeah. I went to, like, catechism as a kid. You go to that, like, fucking Catholic school shit.
Okay.
It's school on Saturday to teach you Jesus.
It's a free babysitter.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
I used to live
free babysitter that can fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I used to live in Brooklyn, and I would see the girls from Bishop Carney in their plaid skirts smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and maybe Billy Joel was right and I wasn't, but, and again, I don't want to come off as insensitive or offend anybody, but I'm like, I can fuck every one of those girls.
Oh, wow.
Every one of these Catholic chicks in their goddamn plaid skirts, I can fuck them.
Yeah. The total opposite of what the priest thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that Catholic school thing.
It's sexy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a hot.
You know what they started doing, too? They'd roll them around the waist to make them shorter.
Yes.
Like that. And then they take their little shirt and
tie it up, right?
And they're walking around like like some kind of music video. You look like the Britney Spears. It's crazy.
That's what Charlie Sheen used to ask for. It wasn't the cheerleader. He wanted the Catholic schoolgirl, which is all good until you're me and you have a 14-year-old daughter and you go, wow, you guys are really, really, really sick. I mean, you're really sick. Just but 5 years ago, I wanted the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's like pigtails. Like, you shouldn't want your girl to wear that, but you do. You know what I mean? Your wife? Yeah, like
your
wife.
Weird. No, you like that?
No, that's weird. That's weird. I drive by Catholic schools and say I can fuck the girls, but that's weird.
Pigtails is odd.
That's weird.
You know, like a little pigtails?
He keeps a fucking rattle in the bed. That's odd. I'm sorry.
I dress them as a baby.
Yeah. I'm the sick fuck.
They're not really babies. They're five.
Yeah. Oh, call me crazy.
No, but yeah, like it's why like a cheerleader with pigtails.
Yeah, if, yeah. You
know, you're like, oh, it's sexy. Little cheerleader.
Can't argue.
No, nobody?
Can't argue.
I don't know.
I have too many things
that people could just really nail me on. Oh, so
you know, I keep out of this one. You know, you say that, and I was watching. By the way, we've covered like a million things. This is fantastic.
Of course.
I was watching Psychopathy on Netflix. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Okay. 42 of the 44 presidents have been diagnosed as psychopaths. The only two that have not been diagnosed as psychopaths are the two biggest psychopaths, and that's the last two, Barack Obama and Donald Trump, because they did this study after Bill Clinton and George Bush. You can go online and check it out. We think a psychopath, we think of somebody that goes out with a knife like Jason and Friday the 13th and starts killing everybody.
Right.
That's the violent side of a psychopath. A clinical psychopath is somebody who is delusions of grandeur, somebody who goes out of the way to be extra charming and appealing, somebody who lies. I mean, it's Donald Trump, and it's me. I have come to realize the last couple of weeks.
You're a psychopath.
Yes, and guess what? So are you.
Yeah.
You are a, and by the way, you're a really fucked up psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, you're really breaking new ground here, Sid. Ooh, look out, people. I'm a psychopath.
You know what?
It's literally been in the news.
I know that. But if you look at the 20, get the 20 symptoms and signs of an actual psychopath. Anthony's going to check. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Affairs. Not able to stick with one woman. Constantly trying to improve yourself.
Oh, wow.
Always thinking you're the funniest and smartest in the room.
But I am.
There you go. These are signs of a psychopath.
I thought it was like a narcissist.
Narcissism is one of the 20 symptoms.
Oh, of psychopath. Oh,
well,
okay.
Psychopath and sociopath are different too. Like different. You're not at all a sociopath, no. But psychopath is
Superficial charm and glibness.
Bang, that's you.
Inflated sense of self-worth.
That's you.
Constant need for stimulation.
That's you.
Nope.
Lying pathologically.
That's you. Nope.
Conning others, being manipulative.
You.
Lack of remorse or guilt.
You.
Shallow emotions.
You.
Callousness, lack of empathy.
You.
Using others, a parasitic lifestyle. Poor control over behavior, promiscuous sexual behavior, behavioral problems early in life, lack of realistic long-term goals, being impulsive, being irresponsible, blaming others and refusing to accept responsibility, having several marital relationships, a delinquency when young, revocation of conditional release, criminal acts in several realms, criminal versatility. This is the application for a job at Westwood One. Wait a minute. I knew I saw that somewhere. It's
how many?
Great.
I'm only like 15 of those. Does that mean I'm not a psychopath?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to bat 1,000 on that without being locked up.
Yeah.
So there are a couple.
I stopped saying no at one point.
I think they say if you've got at least 14.
Oh, my God.
Like when you go to GA or AA and you read the 20 questions.
Yeah.
16 out of 20, you're an addict. If you get 14 of those, you're a psychopath. And you're both.
How many were there?
See, the addicts one.
There are five. There are five or so I could cross off the list that don't suit me. Like, I'm not completely without empathy. I feel bad for, like, the shaky slow-motion dogs at night in the commercials.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have to change that. Me too.
I don't like that.
Me too.
First of all, if you film a happy as shit dog, happy as a motherfucker, and put it in slow motion, he looks miserable and sad.
True.
I think they're pulling one over on us.
And I'm probably going to give it.
I think that dog needs my 10 bucks.
Yeah. Give it a little love before I film it.
I never saw one dog spending a dime I gave him out on the street.
No,
either.
They don't.
I think that place is a scam,
it's all fake.
Too. They don't even have opposable thumbs to hold change. Fuckers. Those stupid little pads on their feet and claws. I don't know how you operate, how you live like that. Your whole life, you spend like this, like a black chick with those nails. Yo, change, let me try to pick up this dime for you. Oh, let me get it with my weave.
Quit honking. This toll booth got a line.
Those fucking nails.
Dude, the press on fucking. Oh,
shit.
It's like fucking a new type of evolving your fingers have to do.
I don't get that either.
That's
just grab anything. My ex-wife, Jennifer, my beloved, that she used to have those nails. She used to have those.
Jennifer N?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Jennifer.
She wasn't your wife, Jennifer Ann. Right, right.
No, no. Jennifer was Jennifer. Jennifer.
It's fine.
Jennifer Cumia.
I got you. Right.
I think she still goes by that name.
She's in the book.
She took everything else from me.
She's in that book.
Yes.
Which, by
she
the way,
is.
I got, and I'm not just saying this to blow you, blow smoke up your ass. That is a great book. Yeah.
Thank you, my
I
friend.
I met this guy in 2000, and it was my first radio gig in New York City. I started my radio
Mine
career.
Too.
I was, but you were already a big star at that point.
We had done Boston, yeah.
Right, so I had done like 2 years down in South Florida, and worked with a guy named Scott Kaplan, who got fired right away at WNEW. He spent the last 18 years in San Diego. Make a long story short, I was scared shit. I never took a communications class in my life, never did college radio. I'm 2 years in Florida on some bullshit sports fan Westwood One network for Joel Hollander, and they hire me and Scott to do mornings.
Yeah, we had the same type of radio experience. None.
Yes. And the first day, I told you the story, you and Rick Delgado and Opie showed me the video of the 95-year-old woman getting fucked, and I'm like, what kind of sick bastard?
Century sex.
Who are we going to work for here? Radio chick, Ron and Bez, Donna Mike, blah, blah, blah.
That was a hell of a fucking lineup.
So then what happens is I go on Howard Stern's show in about 2007. I leave. I get fired. I go to WFAN. Get fired again. Stern loves me. I end up hosting Whack Pack Bowling. I become his guy. So I go on his show, and these guys come up, Opie and Anthony, you know. And I say to Howard, I go, listen, those guys, Anthony was the whole show. I mean, Opie was basically a fucking traffic cop. Anthony was the talent. Jim Norton was funny, too. But so all I'm doing, by the way, is complimenting
Face
Cumia.
Oh, believe me.
I ripped Opie a new asshole, but I complimented Anthony Cumia. The next morning, I get a call from my buddy Eddie Erickson, who today produces the Mad Dog Russo show on SiriusXM. He goes, are you listening to WNEW?
Oh,
no. I don't know. He goes, you got to put it on. And Anthony is on this tirade. That motherfucker, Sid, we took him in, a no-talent Jew bastard, nobody, fucking drug addict. And I hope he fucking ODs and they find him dead in some fucking sleazy New York City hotel. Let's fast forward 9 years. I get the morning show in New York City. They go, who do you want to bring on every week? What about Anthony Cumia? It's a true story.
Dude, it was one of those things, yes.
You talk about forgiving.
I know, you're very forgiving. Guy. You know what it was, and obviously I had to do that a couple of times.
Ironic, you got fired for saying some shit. Yeah. That's what it was.
No, I had to do that a couple of times because there was this. I had to make like we were a united front.
Of course.
So you bashing Opie, I had to step in there. There was so many people that I had to go, yeah, fuck that guy, and think like, oh my god, he was absolutely right. He is a piece of shit. He's this, he's that. But I had to, you know, they always, because then we go, look, they're trying the divide and conquer thing with us. That doesn't work. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work. E-Rock saw it all. E-Rock saw it all.
Well, then there was, who was the gay one, Ron or Fez?
Fez, yeah.
So this fucking...
I was going to say Jim Norton.
Mo goes on the fucking the next day, and because Anthony is killing me, he decides, well, if Anthony doesn't like Sid, then even though I always said nice things to Sid, I don't like him either. So he goes on some fucking gay tirade about me, too.
Gay tirade.
Then I got 2 days of fucking getting bashed by all my former coworkers at WNEW.
We couldn't keep track of who we liked, didn't like, who we were mad at, wasn't mad at. And then in the end, I realized we never were really mad at anybody. I wasn't anybody.
And you certainly didn't want to protect.
No. These radio wars never meant anything. I never had a problem with Howard Stern all those years.
You still like him today.
Yeah. I like him. I respect him. I think
incredible.
He made.
Imus.
He did
everybody.
A show that. Yeah, Imus.
He always liked. See, Imus always liked these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Imus was good to you, wasn't he? Yeah.
Imus is always cool. He would, but he would also talk about how he was Opie's dad.
Yes.
I remember out on Long Island, I fucked fucked Opie's mom. And, yeah, so he's my, how are my boys doing, huh? He was great, though.
Yeah.
Years. He was doing a thing like this, kind of a intimate interview thing on stage at the Hard Rock.
Oh, yes, with Jim Allen, that's right.
Yeah. And he had invited us to come down there and sit out on stage with him and have some little question-answer thing like
that. I remember the first time you went on with me and Bernard, the first time. Now it's a couple years running, and you're great.
I love it.
Everybody knows you're great. But the first time you were on, I actually asked you about the possibility of ever working with Opie again.
Yeah.
You did not close the door.
I never closed the door on anything.
But I went on Imus the next morning, and I said, hey, Iman, I spoke to Anthony yesterday. Oh, how's he doing? I said, hey, he actually talked about the possibility of bringing back, and he's like, you got to get him here. Put him on the afternoons. He was so excited.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
But then I had to explain, which I did. I actually called him at home in Texas that night. True story, which I hated doing because he was fucking annoying. I explained to him just what a piece of shit Opie was.
Yeah, yeah.
And how really he just, you know, he put the fucking cards in and hit the buttons, but you were the show, and then you and Jimmy Norton were the show. So then he kind of soured just a bit on Opie, but he was excited initially about the possibility of the return of Opie and Anthony.
Two horses I named them Opie and Anthony. Actually, one's a horse, one's a jackass. Oh, shut up, Bernard, you jerk. Love him. Love fucking
him. He was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You still talk to him?
You know, I spoke to him on Sunday, but less. You know, the problem is Bernie especially has some unfond memories.
Ah, yeah, well, of course.
Especially after the Rutgers deal.
Yeah.
You know, Imus ended up getting like $25 million from CBS. Then he got a job at WABC. So he ended up scoring like $35, $40 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Bernie, he's out in Long
Beach. Off the comment?
Yes.
Holy fuck,
I didn't know that. He got paid by CBS, and then he got two new jobs. Bernie got fired, and he's out in Long Beach about to lose his house.
Right.
Oh, my
and
God.
Imus never said, hey, I just got $35 million. Here's $50,000. So there's always been some resentment there. So every now and then, Bernard and I will take a shot.
Yeah, of course.
It's somewhat fun-loving, but it's also somewhat honest.
Every so often, I'll take a shot at Opie.
Right, but it gets back
to him.
It's
fun-loving.
Rarely in print.
And then his sycophants call him and go, hey, Imus, you got to hear Sid and Bernie, those two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're gracious mother. So I think he's mad at us, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
Because when he dies,
God
forbid, Bernie's going to write a book.
Oh,
and
shit.
If you think you got something to say about Opie.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wow. That I can only imagine. Yeah. Well, I heard a few stories over the years about the I-Man and, you know, people who are passionate about what they do and have done a lot of drugs. They, I love it.
Hey, by the way, it's no different with Stern. Outside of Robin and Fred, you name one person that ever worked for Howard outside of Robin and Fred. One person, I don't care if it's John, Artie, Jackie, every one of those fucking whack packers who now calls my show.
Yeah,
now I get hype pitch Eric and Elephant Boy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we get them too.
No. So every one of those people has written a book about what a prick Howard Stern is.
That none of them have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, it seems like. Stuttering John had to become a fucking drug cartel leader in Mexico.
No, Tim. 10 counts of guilt today.
El Stuttero. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. El Chapo.
Juan Stuttering Juan.
I guess he was guilty.
All 10 counts.
All 10.
How fucking scared would you be if you were on the jury or a witness? There were witnesses, some of his ex-girls and everything.
Yeah.
Oh. Just, hey, him, he fucking murdered, he did. Like, they're fucking dead people walking.
You know, to be honest.
And they'd be like, why are your headphones in, Dave? I'd be like, because it's not guilty.
I would have been more upset about 10 years ago that the blow was not going to be as good.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's it.
I would. I mean, to be completely honest.
For real.
Yeah, because he had good coke. You know that you did it. You did
Well, I did tons of coke. Yeah, I loved it. I'm sure we've both had some Chapo.
Yeah?
Sure,
better than Pablo?
Yeah.
No, you know, it's funny. I tweeted that one time. We get into these discussions. Who's better, Joe Montana or Tom Brady? Who's better, Stern or Imus? You know?
Pablo Escobar or El Chapo?
Chapo? 94%. Do you know that Pablo... much bigger than El Chapo.
Yes.
Not even close.
Absolutely.
El Chapo Pablo became like the leader.
The man.
Of everything. Yeah. Like
he's
10
times bigger than El Chapo.
Yeah.
He actually, when he was escaping from the feds, he was outside in the cold, and to keep his daughter warm, he actually burned $1 million in cash to keep the fire going.
Yep.
So his daughter wouldn't freeze at night outside. Could you fucking imagine? El Chapo can't do that.
No, but, well, he had. Escobar had the money to do that. He had the money to burn.
He's the man.
Even the prison, though, that he had built for himself was amazing. It's like, well, it's a mansion filled with hookers and butlers.
Yeah. You don't have to escape the prison if you build it and run it.
Built like underground tunnels with you know, the fucking basically outhouses.
Yeah.
Pablo had Taj Mahals.
Yep. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, just...
he was, and the show on Netflix is great.
And Pablo went out in a blaze of glory.
Yes, he did.
So he's got that legendary gun down.
And relatively young for all he accomplished. Yeah. You know, you look at...
But he goes out, unlike El Chapo, who's a little bitch, and I can say that now because he's going to prison.
Oh, Mr. Chapo, I think you're great.
Oh, you better be good.
But he's going to prison.
You like better be a good boy.
Like, that's it, I'm done.
Sid, here's your new cellmate, El Chapo. What did you say about me? Look at him. I worked on the Tonight Show. I sold cocaine to Jay Leno. El Chapo.
I sold cocaine.
I bought 3 mansions and 6 cruise ships just off of Artie Lang.
You know, I never noticed that, though. Just now, you're right.
Oh, it's stuttering it's Chapo. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Afghan heroin trade is certainly thankful.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, that's...
It really does look... If you take away, too, any of the facial hair, it's
Chapo
like
the love sponge.
Yeah, it is.
It also, he does have a bubble look to him there. That is true.
He's going to have an easy time in prison.
Oh, my Absolutely. God. First of all, a hero.
Yeah.
A fucking hero. He's going to walk in that place like king shit.
He won't even be in 6 months. You'll find him living next to Noriega in Miami Beach.
Yeah, Noriega went?
Like, you know, also is going to prison, by the way, in a couple of weeks. Talking about New York radio is Craig Carton.
Barton's gone, yeah.
He's due to be sentenced February 26th, I think.
So we don't know how long?
If I had a guess, let's put it this
way. What's the minimum he could get?
Well, Michael Wright, the guy from Scores or whatever the fucking strip club was, he pled, and he got 7 years. Craig did not plead, so if Wright got 7, simple math tells you Craig will get more. He didn't take a plea bargain.
10, yeah.
So he's looking at 10 to 12.
Yeah.
They always give you more if you don't bargain.
That's correct.
To make people bargain.
Correct. Now, sometimes it's only a year or two. In this case, that may be the case. But if Wright got 7, then you know he's at least 8, 9, 10.
This is all a money scam?
That's it.
Why didn't,
$5 million.
Is that
why
what it was?
Didn't he take a plea deal?
You know, I'll tell you why he didn't. Because Michael Wright got 7 to take a plea deal. There's a mathematical formula. I discuss this with Arthur Idala and Joe Tacopino, all the great defense attorneys, on our show every week. Believe it or not, if he rolls the dice, talking about gambling, and he loses, which he did, he's only going to get about 9 years, maybe 10. If he pleads, he's getting 7 or 8. So I ask you, if you're facing 8 years on a plea bargain and 10 if you're found guilty, wouldn't you roll the dice for those 2 years?
So you're taking the chance.
Of course.
Maybe that you'll be acquitted.
Right. Because if the difference was 8 years or 20 years, that's a different story.
I got you.
But between 8 and 10, I'm going to roll the fucking dice.
Yeah.
And of course, his defense was pathetic. Worse than El Chapo. He was guilty. He was guilty in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And El Chapo, it took 5 days because people like Dave are like, holy shit, what do I do? He'll come find me. He'll find
if we come out. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think for white-collar crime, too, even if you take the plea deal or not, you're probably going to end up serving the same amount of time one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably both going to do, 4 years, if that.
See, that's where gambling gets bad. That's where it gets bad.
There's,
Number one, mornings, New York, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know, man.
It's when you get greedy, that's what you got to do. You got to steal just enough.
Well,
and then,
just enough.
So he had, like, crazy gambling debts, I gather.
Like $5 million, I guess.
Needed to come up with a money-making scheme pretty quickly.
Right.
Just rob a bank at that point. Just bolt in. It's a one-shot deal.
Wait a second. So
if you make it.
He's going to go to work the next morning.
Yell in Puerto Rican like that one lady.
Pre-show meeting with Al Duke, so you remember from Ron and Fez. That's his producer.
Yeah.
And your friend Norman, Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
He's going to sit down at 5:30 in the morning at W Up Man and go, guys, I'm in the hole for $3 million. I'm going to rob a bank. Boomer, you in?
Yeah. Well, maybe not $3 million. That's, you know, there's no bank with $3 million.
That's what I'm saying. You're dead.
Anyway. I swear, if I ever get really, really jammed up, I'll just, you'll figure it out. I'll rob a bank.
You will?
Yeah, I figure it's a one-shot deal, right?
Right.
You do a lot of the planning. There are blithering idiots that rob banks and seem to get away with it at some point.
Anthony, 20 at a time. They can rob 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Get away with it.
You do a little research, right? You find out, you know, when the money, where the money, all that.
You gotta find that vulnerable bank too. Right.
Vulnerable bank.
Middle of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No way you go in New York City. Get the fuck out.
Go to Tennessee or something.
Somewhere.
That little
small town. Maybe some kind of thing where they're shipping through a lot of money, a credit union type deal, whatever the fuck it is. And then you really got to plan it out that it's one time. The most important thing is just they don't know who the fuck you are.
I feel like we're planning it right now.
I've I studied on it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Mostly before I got into radio. I was like, fuck this tin knocking. I'm robbing a bank. I spent half the time tin knocking, trying to make holes for ducks by taking these hammer drills through walls. I'm like, I could be making some bank if I fucking hit the right wall.
Oh, shit.
Meanwhile, you know, I'm sneaking peeks into the locker room.
Yeah, we just need a safe cracker, an Asian man that can do acrobatic shit.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah, we just need to get a team.
I like
yeah.
it.
And a smart guy who could act retarded.
Yes.
You could do that.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go.
Are you prepared, though?
I can definitely do the last part.
Oh, if something goes wrong and the old 85-year-old guy pulls out his gun, shaking like fucking Barnaby Jones. Are you prepared to kill somebody?
Close the deal and
send him to hell.
If you
do a little, right. Do a little wet work, as they say.
Are you prepared to do it? Innocent guy, grandfather.
Innocent guy, grandfather. I'm shooting kids if they catch a fucking glance at me. Hey, that's the guy from Boom. Hey, that idiot at St. Pat's Boom.
Oh my god. I think if you're going to do it, you shoot one teller just to let the other one know you're not fucking around.
I watched Red Eye and I remember Boom.
You have no mask on for some reason?
Yeah, I'll just pull the mask off and just, let's do the whole village.
Yeah. You're like, in hindsight, I could have just wore a ski mask instead of shoot 30 kids.
You gotta go in with an Opie mask.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You got the Opie's face
on
a mask.
An Opie mask.
Yeah. Fucking great.
Because then no one will know who you are.
Cops would show up, and he'd be like, all right, you got me. And he goes, nah, you can't even be arrested.
His punishment's 5 more years at Westwood One.
You know, Tim Sabian has
Kidding,
called me.
Opie. I don't even know you. It's a
Sabian
joke.
Sabian has called me more than once.
Yeah.
A, have Opie on my show with Bernie.
Of course.
And appear on his podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm loyal to you, so of course, I never liked Opie. So I say no every single time, but he keeps trying. So
you could do, you know, obviously you do whatever you want, but why would anybody, if you listen to the show, and again, I plug the shit out of it more than anyone else does. It's Opie Radio Podcast on Westwood One. Radio network, podcast network. Go check it out for yourself, and you tell yourself or ask yourself if you would go on that show.
What is it? Well, what does he talk
about?
It's
terrible.
Terrible.
There's nothing to it. There's no personality.
Well, it depends who's walking down the street then.
Yeah, yeah. He thinks he's doing this cool new thing that no one else is doing, but he does it so he can't be compared to other things.
I see.
Like if he did a show like this at a desk with microphones and guests and he would fail miserably, and then people would go, oh, look, you suck.
Right.
But if he does something that's so out there and weird, there's nothing to compare it to. So people just go, oh, it's Opie's show. I don't know what it is, but it's
interesting.
And that's what it is. It's his fear of having to compete with everyone else that's doing this.
Right.
So he's just terrible. He has people come in, and he sits at a bar, and they drink beers. It sounds like a good idea, but he just can't pull it off. Right. He's a dull guy.
Right. He would be. This is a great show. You guys are both
thank
great.
You.
Show's
you're
awesome.
Magnificent.
I know it.
And you got
on.
The cameras, and you can say whatever you want. Like
that's it.
This show's so much fun.
Freedom.
He would be the type of guy that could take a fun show like this
yes.
and make it miserable.
That's what he did the entire time at NEW,
Sirius
at XM, at Sirius XM. He did that exactly, just made it miserable for everybody. Yeah. It was a fun job. I would forget sometimes, and I would come in like laughing and smiling and stuff, and I'd open the door and see his fucking face and then be like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Right. It's going to be miserable.
Yep.
And then me and Jimmy, of course, would just go back and forth and laugh our balls off.
Right.
And then this miserable fuck is complaining about everything. You ever see, obviously you like The Sopranos, right?
Love it. They're all my good buddies, you know that.
Yeah, yeah. You see where Carmella is confronting Tony about his indiscretions with women. And she brings up Furio.
Of course.
She had these fantasies about Furio. Her describing when she comes downstairs and greets Furio at the door and getting him coffee and stuff. Is the same as me going to do the show. She's like, if Furio would come to the door and I would light up, I felt so good. And then you'd come down the stairs and I'd remember. I'd remember like a terminal patient remembers they have cancer. That like, it was so, and I'm like, oh my God, that's how I felt about Opie.
Yeah.
I felt like I should be all enamored and there's Furio
right.
with his dumb ponytail and then this fat fuck comes down the stairs.
He sold your videos.
He sold videos of me, Opie.
What is the very famous Theorio trivia question. By the way, the Sopranos are still performing. Steve Sciarippa, a.k.a. Bobby Bacala.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Imperioli, a.k.a. Christopher. And Vinny Pastore, a.k.a. Yep. Big Pussy. They have a show they do with a guy named Michael Martucci. He's in charge of Big Blue Travel. If you're a football giant band.
Are these Italian guys?
All Italians.
I don't think so.
And it's a Frank Sinatra meets Sopranos show.
Oh, Jesus.
They take it on the road. Last week, they were at the Borgata. Next month, at the Fountain Blue. And they're selling out everywhere. It's Frank Sinatra meets the Sopranos. You'd like it.
But it's a movie called Cleaver.
But what is the famous Furio trivia answer when it comes to the Sopranos? What was he the first to do on the Sopranos?
Oh,
good job.
The first to do
yeah.
on The Sopranos.
That's right.
Well, it's not kill somebody.
Nope. Is it be in the mob with a ponytail?
Good one. Not that.
But it was. He was the first.
He was the first guy on the show.
Yeah.
That's how serious David Chase took this. If you ever, ever intimated anything about an upcoming episode, you're fucking gone. That was David Chase made a big deal. Furio, you may remember, was all of a sudden gone. He was starting out this big love affair with his wife.
Uh-huh.
He was gone. He fucked up. Now.
He did.
Let me take it a step
what
further.
What did he say? He told somebody?
He told somebody an upcoming
party. Oh, shit, what an asshole.
So, I'm on with Imus.
Back on the show was in Italy.
Imus loved the show. He used to bring on Mike Francesa every Monday morning to recap the Sunday Night Sopranos.
Oh.
I'm on with Imus on a Tuesday. I go, listen, I found something out. I lied. I didn't find anything out. I just figured it out. I go, I found something out. He goes, what'd you hear? I said, this weekend, Adriana, they're going to kill her.
Now, oh, Jesus.
Now, oh, fuck.
Now, who wouldn't have, if you watched the show, you knew she was fucking dead. I didn't know that Stephen Van Zandt was
you know what?
Shoot
in hindsight, it's easy to say, but you didn't know she was dead.
Well, I said
they
I knew
could
it.
Have fucking.
No, and judging by how the series ended, you never knew exactly what would happen.
I say this on a Tuesday morning on Imus.
Oh, my goodness.
Swear to God, 2 hours later, show ends, I get a call from Steve Sciarippa.
Holy shit.
What are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing?
You're killing me.
I'm on the show last week, so he tied it to Sciarippa.
Oh.
Sciarippa was on the show last week. He must have told me.
Oh, my God.
David Chase was on the New York Daily
News. What did you do?
David Chase.
You're going to get me fired. I got to take care of Junior.
I had to go on the air and apologize and say, no one told me anything. I just kind of figured it out. And sure enough, that Sunday,
she
got whacked. And that was one of the more violent.
Oh, that was brutal.
That was Stephen Van Zandt. You fucking cunt.
He's a tough kid. He'll be fine. Him driving that car and you're like, what's going on? It looks like the woods. Oh, no.
Dude, that is...
Come here, when he goes, come here, you cunt.
Yeah, oh, my...
Oh, that was like,
That made him unlikable to me for the rest of the
series. It was very hard to take his little comments with a laugh after that.
To this day, he's one of my best friends. In fact, we went together about 6 months ago to see Sebastian Maniscalco together. Me, him, my buddy, Dr. Jimmy Orsini. For years, Van Zandt and I have been good friends. He's been out with me and Bernie a couple of times.
Incredible.
Make a long story short, he's told us he did not like that scene.
Of course.
He did not like even saying the word cunt. On TV.
Yeah.
That's how much it really bothered him in real life. I'm like,
he usually reserves that for Bruce.
Right.
When they compare checks.
Come here, you cunt. One of my favorite lines from him in the show, if you remember, Carmela and Ro go to France, and Carmela is just taken by the amazing artwork. She's doing our Carmela head tilt looking. Yeah. It's so beautiful. Who made this? Her dumb fuck face. And then she's looking, and it shows this cherubish kind of angel sculpture.
Yeah, I remember.
And she's looking. It immediately hard cuts to fucking Sill at the bottom of the Bing sign with a guy on a ladder, and he's going, clean the shit off her tits. It was so... perfect.
Dude, yeah, the fuck, it's so funny.
That hilariously perfect. This amazing old French artwork. Carmela's crying right to clean the shit off her tits.
Fantastic.
And the sign with the girl with the tits and the guy's got to clean the shit off her tits.
Fantastic.
It was such a funny show.
I miss that show. Sunday night.
Yeah.
Judging by how people got whacked, I wonder who gave away information.
Yeah.
If that's what they did, because you got to think the one guy who's ends up blowing people in his truck and dancing in gay bars.
Oh, that's Joe Ganascoli.
Oh, so funny.
And then the whole cast hates his guts to this day. They hate him.
Do they really?
Oh, they hate his guts.
Yeah, he said
some stuff about Jimmy Gandolfini when he died.
Seriously?
Said some things that weren't true about his relationship with Jim and the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
Just cut him off.
Yeah.
We've had Vince Securitola on the show a lot. Johnny Satin.
Nice guy.
Great.
Yeah, great, nice guy. And he talked about how all of them didn't really know what the show was going to be.
Right.
That week.
They were also angry because Ganiscoli himself went to David Chase, said, I got a good idea for you. This never happens. Not in The Godfather, not in Goodfellas. I'm going to play a queer, a fucking mafia queer. And Chase was like,
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
Something new. So he started to get more and more airtime. And that, to be honest, it's very petty. So,
wow, I didn't think it was a self-promotion thing.
Yeah, it was his idea.
But then he had to sit there and get another great scene when he's with Johnny Cakes in bed.
Oh,
and
yes.
And he rolls over.
Oh,
and
yes.
Show his back to Johnny Cakes. Yep. And it hard cuts right to a train going into the tunnel. Bobby Bacala's electric trains.
No, those
were also, I'm going to love
play with the trains.
I'm just going to eat a bunch of pancakes.
It's Junior. He's wandering. I fucking love
the
Bobby.
Best line from Christopher Moltisanti is in that. He goes, I don't know, maybe it's a midlife crisis. Sucking a cock?
Sucking a cock. Yeah. You killed Cosette. I don't know, maybe she crawled under for warmth.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's all fucking zooted out on heroin. You just hear.
He's still tied off. And you just
he was good. He was good.
Yeah.
Dude,
he's
Cosette, come to
show.
Mommy. She's all. Oh, Christ. She had some amazing ass shots in that series.
Oh, yeah.
There's one where I guess it was. Oh, he comes out of the hospital with the neck brace after they got him on the dock.
Yeah.
The Russians, and that he shit his pants and stuff. She bends over a garbage pail to go look for her ass is fucking exquisite.
Oh, she was beautiful. Dre DiMaggio was beautiful.
Unbelievable,
that
right?
That lousy show with the guy from Friends.
Yeah,
Joey. It was just called Joey.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, she's this
when the FBI was looking at her playing tennis.
Hey, how about when she threw up on the table
yeah.
in front of my boy Frank, who, by the way, of course, was Rayos in the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's away a couple
just
years ago.
Just died recently, yeah.
I would see Frank there all the time.
He was great.
Pellegrino, he was great.
Yeah, it was.
That show was great. You know, now I'm all about Netflix, but I miss Sopranos.
I miss it, but I watch it all the time. Yeah, this is... oh my gosh, she's so sexy.
Where did you get that?
God. And Carmella's all pissed. She's like, the tennis teacher girl. Ah, ha, ha.
Dude, then I love that the underwear is so trashy just to go, it's fucking awesome.
Of course.
Got it.
They played it off perfectly. When that first FBI girl makes friends with us, and she's like, you want to go get a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Hair is like, it's so fucking funny, man. The show was a comedy.
There was so much funny shit in there.
The mob stuff, it was not a mob show.
No.
It was an idiot. It was a family/comedy.
Yeah.
The periphery was the mob stuff. It was all about the family dynamic with Jimmy, his kids, going to see a shrink.
Yep.
The mob stuff was just...
It was peripheral.
Well, I think the shrink idea was to make it the psychology of mobsters, and the more they dug into it, the funnier it was.
Yeah,
I think it's just the psychology of a father.
Yeah, that's right,
yeah, that's
not,
true, yeah.
He's got AJ doing this, he's got Meadow doing this, his wife is up his fucking ass. And and I go to a shrink twice a week. I was just there, in fact, last Thursday. And I love going.
It ain't working. It's still big.
Well, I'm not necessarily honest with her.
It is hard to be honest. I don't trust shrinks.
Yeah.
Tell them. Have you been honest with me today? I'm like, somewhat. That's good.
You're supposed to be able to figure that shit out.
Right. You tell me if I'm being honest.
You tell me, Kreskin.
I'm paying you $500.
Jesus.
Time?
And it doesn't even, the insurance doesn't, well, I go to an addiction psychiatrist.
Ah.
Regular psychologist, I think $200. I go, because I'm really fucked up, I go to an addiction psychiatrist. $500 to $700 per visit and $1,200 for the first visit, just like a prescribed medication where they completely fuck you up.
Oh, my God.
And they go, well, you're going to take Wellbutrin, you're going to take Zoloft, you're going to take something, and then your dick doesn't work. And I go, well, hold on a second.
Zoloft
if you thought I was depressed before I got here, how about now?
Yeah.
I'm on a Zoloft to keep from killing y'all. That's what Tyson said. I'm on a Zoloft to keep from killing y'all.
It really
he said
is.
That to the media.
It really is boner poison, the Zoloft.
Yeah, the Zoloft.
Yeah,
when you take Viagra, that's all you keep, you know. And I get it off the street for $10 a pill.
And they're both blue pills. Yeah, she don't want to mess them.
I had to go to like a alcohol counselor after my shit 3 years ago with a fucking bitch. No, I drink. I like, you know, sitting down. No Gino Bisconti. That's for fucking sure. I'm funny. So I had to go to that, and she knew it was this bullshit, and she was pretty reputable, this one. Yeah. And I would pay her the money, and we would sit there and literally talk about, well, what was your week like? What'd you do? We'd have a conversation, but it was nothing about it. She'd be like, I got a, you know, piss test. Yeah, I'm like, all right, I pissed. Here you go. That she barely even look at it, whatever it was. And we wouldn't even talk about booze or any of that shit. I had to do this weird test when I first got there that you can't cheat on the test. It's like this long fucking...
I'm taking it.
Yeah.
At rehab, you take it too when you first get in.
And they go like, there's no... You can't figure out what you're supposed to put down.
Right.
So they look and go, well, obviously he doesn't have a problem, or obviously he does. Like, it's just this thing, and it's so in-depth and long. And
it's also very confusing.
Yes. They'll ask you questions like, you know, if you saw a pipe in the street,
right,
would you bend it? Would you? It's like, what does this even mean?
Right. But there was a meaning to it.
There's a meaning to it.
I don't know.
Some of the questions, there isn't a meaning to
it. No meaning.
Some are just thrown in there to fucking confuse you.
Yeah. Well, and it's a pattern of thinking into addiction.
Right, it's a thought pattern thing.
Identify.
So she gets the results back from me, and she's like, yeah, it shows you were being completely honest, and we don't really see anything here.
There's 100 questions on that test.
And then I'm like,
I answered the first question. She goes, you're in the right place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Question one.
You have a problem.
You're in the right place.
See those 12 question ones if you answer honestly?
What did I do? I thought I answered it right. You were snorting coke off the test.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but the answers, I mean.
This is beer spilled in the bottom of the test. The test takes 10 minutes.
It's coffee. Where'd you get coffee? Across the street. How did you get there? The door's locked. I went out the window. Stands that fucking scene where George is taking the IQ test. It defines George Costanza. Another show that I can't get enough of. I love Seinfeld.
Me too.
But there are character-defining episodes and scenes. That scene where George just lies right to this girl's face about where he got. If you could find that, George lying about the IQ test. It defines him. He's full of shit. Like, the best shows, Tony Soprano was a piece of shit. The guy was a bad guy. George is a piece of shit. He's a light. Watch this. Elaine brings him the test. He never did anything. And there's coffee spilt on it.
Here you go.
How did you do?
Piece of cake.
What happened to the test?
What? Oh, I spilled some food on it.
What food?
What are you talking about?
Where did you get food?
From my pocket.
Your pocket?
The matter-of-fact
I had a sandwich in my pocket.
And coffee?
Yeah, had some coffee, yeah.
Where did you get the coffee?
Where did I get the coffee? Where do you think I got the coffee? At the grocery store.
How did you get there?
I walked.
How did you get out of the apartment? I didn't see you leave.
I climbed out the window.
You climbed out the window?
Of course.
Why didn't you go out the door?
The door? Why would I go out the door? The window's right here.
You're a fascinating man, George Costanza.
It's so perfectly, like, it's not just the lying. It's a what? In my pocket.
It's almost the reverse.
Like, why? You're an asshole for even asking these questions. Yeah.
It's like the reverse of The Sopranos, though, where George just it keeps getting worse and worse as a human being.
Yeah.
You start seeing glimpses of Tony's humanity throughout the thing.
You do. I think he's a garbage person, but he has these moments. That's so weird you say that, because I think Tony gets worse as the show goes on.
He gets better.
No, I think he got better.
That's weird.
I think he gets better.
You really start to feel like what he did for a living was kind of fucked up. But the interesting characters, it's the same thing in life.
Yeah,
the reason why Sid Rosenberg, I've been fired 100 times. And people go, why does that cocksucker keep getting jobs? What's so great about him? I don't know. I guess there's an appeal. There's an intrigue to somebody who's a bit fucked up. You're the same way. You're the same way.
Of course.
So we don't want to see, you know, listen, I used to watch Little House on the Prairie when I was a kid. I used to love Michael Landon. I'm not going to lie to you. Try to get an adult to watch Michael Landon and go, that's good shit.
Yeah, I love it.
Little House on the Prairie.
Highway to Heaven. That's what I had.
Yeah, same shit, Rowan Olsen. So you get older.
I liked the blonde daughter when I was a kid, and she was in there. And they made her. They made her go blind.
I like John Boy's
stupid.
Big mole.
But in most of these shows,
Waltons,
right?
John Boy.
I get them confused. It's the same fucking show.
The bad guy is always the guy you tend to love, and those are the guys that usually enjoy the most success until it's over.
Yeah.
Because we always find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Jimmy Gandolfini died from eating prawns in fucking Rome.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know, we've been fired 1,000 times. There'll be
oh
more.
My God!
You don't think that, you think this is it for you?
Oh, shut up! I'm knocking wood. I'm just fucking.
Listen,
you know,
I'm going to get you the job. You're going to keep this show.
Yeah,
because you and Dave are great.
Thank you.
And you can't beat this.
Live I love
audience
it.
Audience TV. You get the curse. The guys behind the glass are great.
Yeah,
one of them's Jewish. So you can't beat this. But I'm going to get you the afternoon job one day at WABC.
Oh man,
I want to host mornings, which I'm doing now. I'm Bernie, and I want you to host the afternoons.
That'd be awesome.
And I think a bookend of Sid and Bernie and Anthony and Dave or whoever you want to take in.
That would be fucking would be the show.
But you will get fired because you will do something fucking stupid. And the first thing the New York Post.
I'm a psychopath.
Write,
you told me.
You're a psychopath. The first thing the Post will write is.
But not an
Sid
alcoholic.
In the morning, Anthony afternoon. Who gets fired first?
Oh, they would. Yeah,
the
contest on who would get fired.
And you would hope we go out in a blaze. We're together in Atlantic City.
Oh, my God.
Together in Atlantic City. We got a million chips in front of us. Bahamian hookers.
We would have a contest. Who gets fired? Well, nah. I think you would get fired first because my first day I'd be, ladies and gentlemen, this is fantastic. I can't believe I'm here at WABC Radio in New York City.
I did that.
Our first guest, my good friend, Reverend Al Sharpton. Let's bring him on, people. Al, I love your National Action Network. You need some tax money? I got some cash for you. I'll pay your taxes. I will be a step and fetch it tap dancing motherfucker.
Well, see, you'll be fine because we don't pander to anybody.
No, of course not.
We don't.
No, we call these motherfuckers out.
You pander to your producers for spots.
That's about it.
Well, you got to be on time with that
oh,
show.
It's such a pain
very structured. You know, very fun, though, man. Yeah, I love it.
Listen,
very
good. I arrived here. I walked into the studio at 4:28. My wife's texted me 10 times. It's now 6:09.
Yeah.
We've done nearly an hour and 45 minutes of brilliant content.
Just
we didn't break once.
No.
If you're
we talked
WABC
about Steven Singer.
Like seven breaks. That's right. You're right. One. We'd have seven breaks by now.
Yeah. And you're right. You're right.
My Pillow and Pajamagram and blah, blah, blah. So this is.
It's fucking awesome, man. That's why I love doing this. I love having you on, Sid. Thanks so
great.
Much.
Absolutely.
Coming in. I'd stay and talk longer. I got to go down to the Comedy Cellar. I'm doing their podcast down there with Noam and.
Is that right?
Yeah. They do a podcast down there.
Esty likes you.
Apparently, some He's people tough. Like me down there.
He'll know in an hour.
Noam likes me. We've had some discussions and stuff.
And they want
me down there.
You've had some melees there and some.
Yeah,
stuff.
It was nothing really big. It got blown out of proportion.
Hey, listen,
John Stewart,
page six.
I know that's you know old. That's what you got to do.
Absolutely,
Sid, we love you at Sid Rosenberg, WABCRadio.com/Bernie and Sid. Of course, Bernie and Sid in the morning, 77 WABC. I am BB ABC. I remember when ABC used to play music.
Yes.
Back when I was a kid.
You know, my friend Alan Sniffen.
Ron Lundy.
Yeah, I like Alan Sniffen.
Alan Sniffen.
They still have the
radio dentist.
Board, and they still harken back to the good old days of Dan Ingram.
Oh, they do. Dan Ingram.
There you go.
Here it is. Casey and the Sunshine Band. This is a new one. Yeah, Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. I love it. I love doing the show on Tuesdays. And I'll see you next week.
Tuesday. Thank you for all the years of friendship. And on a serious note, thank you. And you too.
Awesome, man.
You were great on our show too that time.
Dude, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. You guys. It was just awesome.
Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you.
Let the people know where they could find you.
I will not be in the rest of the week, sadly.
Oh, no.
Yes.
He's doing an Artie Lang impression.
I am?
It's spot on.
I am going to prison.
He's going to cut a hole in a piece of liver, shove it on his nose, and not show up.
Tomorrow I'll be at Ascend at Soaring Eagle Casino, Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Then Valentine's Day through the 16th, Dr. Grin's Comedy Club, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And please come out to Summers Point, New Jersey, March 9th. Stand Up for Autism. It's a great charity. Please come out to that show. Other than that, yeah, come celebrate Valentine's Day. Bring out your bitch.
That's a good job. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And I want to tell everybody my good friend Joe Curry, Joseph T. Curry, Plankfoot, at Plankfoot. He'll be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club Wednesday, February 13th. I believe that's mañana, as they say in the country, that needs to be walled off. Tickets, 877-UNCLE-VIN. For my good friend Joe Curry, and you, the fine people that watch this program on a daily basis, we thank you for it. Tell your friends, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Tonight is Eastside Dave McDonald. He's right out there. What am I kidding? At 7, and Michael Malice with Nightshade at 11. Asti Spumanti.